Tonight, we stock up on guests with Patty off tomorrow as Mark Carmen and Dan Katowski ride sidecar for the evening. Then later, we'll check in with a few of our friends downstate, and Scott Stantis has at least 1,000 new words. All that and more right now on Pretty Late with Patty Vasquez.
I'm excited to have all my friends. I feel like I'm having like a party or something. What? I have all my friends here tonight. I've got Senator Katowski's in studio. Mark Carmen is here as well. I just got back from Springfield, which was here. You want your microphone?
I guess only if you want it on.
If you want to say something, feel free to chime in. Carm, do you follow what's going on in Springfield? Like, is it just sort of background noise?
Or he has a life.
Well, Patty, there's things that are important in life, like Chris Bryant and Jose Abreu and Derrick Rose, and then there's what's going on in Springfield. So I've been following Derrick Rose, and yes, of course, Patty.
And Facebook Live posts.
And, right. Well,
I think that's all you need. It's a snap, like a little snapshot.
Well, as you've been going down there now for many years, I think that considering everything that's happened,
yes,
the state of Illinois should declare Patty Vasquez Day. I think you deserve that. I mean, it doesn't have to be necessarily like a whole day, because I know you're very modest. So
actually,
maybe just an hour in the day. What do you think, Senator?
My first time to Springfield to visit the legislature, the senator brought me on the floor and did have like sort of a Patty Vasquez announcement.
Listen,
it's a special guest. So
I agree with
it.
Mark. They should be formalized.
No,
could we at least have like Patty Vasquez night? Like you said, maybe we don't need a whole day.
Can we do like a slumber party in the
Capitol? Yeah, let's do that.
Why does it have to go all the way there?
Why
do you guys always
make
the leap to the slumber party? So I think you can go for a day, or you can do it as a moment, but I would prefer to be kind of codified into law.
I don't know why you're so resistant to the pretty late sleepover. That seems like a really good idea.
I've been in the Capitol in the wee hours of the morning.
You guys are doing things to my mind. I can't explain it.
And judging how quickly things are progressing in the last 24 hours, I think we could get this, what did you say, Senator, codified?
Codified,
I think we could codify Patty Vasquez Day within the next, 72 hours or so.
Been my dream to be codified.
Get them in a room and just say, that'd be the first thing that's on the list.
The first order of business.
Yeah, first order of business.
Is that sexual codified?
Codified. have all voted who wish.
Move the previous question. We got some debate on this.
To the bill.
To the bill.
Do you wake up in the middle of the night hearing phrases like that?
I got to tell you something. I was at a board meeting at my new organization. It's called Child Surf, Mark. And we were at a board meeting, and literally a board member said, can I move the previous question? Because there was too much debate. And I was like, I haven't heard that since I was in Springfield.
What does that mean, move to the previous question?
That means stops all other extra questions. We just move to the previous question that was asked. There was a motion on the floor to approve our budget at our agency. And then it went off in a tangential way. And someone's like, can I move the previous question? We voted on his moving the previous question, and it was approved. And that cut off any other future questions about what we were talking about.
Let's just say, for argument's sake, you have to use the restroom. What would be the motion for that in the middle of a expansive altar?
I feel like you've had a moment.
Can I move to make? Sorry. I hated the kids who said make. I have to make. What is that?
You know, make.
Yeah, it made it feel like it was too creative.
I mean, if you made up words, would everybody just nod in approval and act like they're understanding?
No.
That wouldn't happen?
You don't put that
on
the floor.
Not in the Senate. I know you're going to have some House members. Not in the Senate. There's just a higher standard.
Mark, you talking about him saying something like he has to codify to the restroom?
Right. I mean, you could like raise your hand. I need an augmentation of a dispensation in a recalibration. And then everybody would just nod and be like, okay,
we get it.
Absolutely.
Yeah. There is a weirder atmosphere and energy in the Senate. It's not chill, but there's certain.
It's not even chill. If you were to do that. No, there isn't a lot of expelling of gas.
Their attitude, not that they. No, just kind of like,
if someone said that, they'd call you out on it. So, right. Sorry, Senator, there is no such word as that.
They sound like the cool kids.
Yeah. Thank you.
Or trying to be like that.
No.
That's the thing.
Not trying.
They are inauthentically the cool kids.
Patty's got beef. That's what's obvious right now.
she's owned it.
She's feeling a hoity-toityness.
I saw Senator Sullivan.
Patty would have been a senator.
Okay, I was.
For sure.
Would have been?
If you wanted to have run, Senator. If you wanted to run, you would have been.
Maybe she does.
Listen, okay, let's not parse words. If she were in elected office, she would be Senate material, all right? I'm just saying.
So you're saying we should put you up for Senate and beat those Senate kids.
Yeah, that's, I don't know how it suddenly got violent.
How long do you think Melrose is staying?
Beat the kids.
How long do you think Melrose is staying?
Oh, he's out. If you're in, he's out. I know Mulroe.
Do you know Mulroe?
If he's listening right now, Senator.
Senator, take a duck.
Here comes Patty.
Hey, why don't you hit the Mets?
Ladies and gentlemen, Patty Vasquez.
What about running for the big office come 2020? I just like what you're bringing to the table right now. I've got a big vision for you.
Oh, I got it's the PV agenda, the Patty Vasquez agenda.
I love the idea of Pretty Late with Senator Vasquez.
Yeah,
that sounds super nice.
There has to be no way to do that.
No, you could do that.
There has to be no way to do that.
That'll be fine.
You just shut the door on your run.
It'll work out.
There's going to be a draft Patty movement because you just shut the door on it. There's no way I am not running.
How much more definitive can you be? There has to be no way that is happening.
There's no way I am not running.
I'm wondering if your very understated ego, if you actually became a senator.
It'd be so hard.
If you couldn't be a senator. You look at me in the...
Senator
McGuire was said. What was with the jumping out of, like, I almost jumped out of the press box when they were trying to vote on something. I mean, it's not good when the press is biting its knuckle in the press box.
Well, it's different when you're on the floor. You have an opportunity to speak.
Right.
And when you're in the press box, you're like, yay, over here.
Not yet. I was like, what are you guys doing?
Yeah.
I want to slap people, and that doesn't seem like Senator.
Well,
material.
That doesn't. No, they don't really tolerate slapping. Verbal slaps.
I could do that.
Verbal, you know, reprimands.
I see the thing about the House and someone like Ron Sandek, Representative Sandek, is an interesting.
I don't know him. Is he a representative?
Yeah, I know you don't.
Where's he from?
I watched him today get very angry about something and have to wait a few speakers and then recalibrate. I would say. Is the way. And I thought his response was extraordinary. Yeah, I was just like, wow, that was really well handled. I was impressed.
Yes.
Yeah.
You know, he was quite laid back when he was a senator.
Was he chill?
He was. He was, you know, former mayor, very, you know, very dignified. Something happened when he went over to the House. And
yeah. He, like, leans on furniture. Yeah. He actually, if he could jump over things, I feel like he would.
I got to tell you something. One softball game, he was 6-for-6. And then he was like Rennie Stennett. Remember when he was 6-for-6 against the Cubs years ago? But then the next year, nothing.
Who?
Goose egg.
Rennie Stennett?
Then played for the Pirates.
What year are we talking?
You were going out there in the break. After this, we're going to talk to Representative Harris after this because he's got some thoughts on what happened today. Hey, Carm, can you talk amongst yourself?
Yeah, sure. Absolutely. Can we talk 70s Pirates baseball? Is that legal? Or do we got to go? Because when you drop Rennie Stennett out of nowhere.
How'd you like that, huh?
I mean, I don't think anyone cares, but I'm interested. So there's that. We can talk. I'm curious. Like, I feel like you go through withdrawal, Dan. You leave office, and now you got to figure out what to do when all that time that you've been putting in. You're shaking your head at me.
No,
so
you
I guess
do.
I'm,
I did go through. I have at times gone through serious withdrawal. I mean,
maybe a little bit. No,
you know what? No, my new job has purpose. It's meaning we help at risk kids.
Oh well, that's
lead
even
better
bigger.
Lives.
That's cool.
So they can reach their potential. But I tell you, the one thing I do miss, the competition. I miss the dogfight. I enjoy it.
Yeah.
And sometimes it can bring out the absolute best in you if you really focus and you're thoughtful. It can.
Were you an athlete too?
Because
I feel competitiveness all over the place here.
I was the athletic supporter. No, I was. That's my favorite line from Greece. No, I was an athlete moderately engaged in athletics. Yeah. Sure.
Okay. Fair enough. We'll talk off the air.
Speaking of competitive
life story, please.
And stressful situations. I was in the.
Hi, Patty. How are you?
Are you going to read a poem?
No, I've got my notes because there were some great speeches today in response to the Senate Bill 2047. That's our stopgap spending bill that was passed today. Representative Harris, can you hold on one moment? We just have an update on traffic. I apologize.
Yes, southbound I-57 from 127 to about Illinois 83. We're hearing reports of police activity that is blocking all lanes there. Traffic is being diverted off at 119th Street.
Thank you, Esmeralda. Representative Harris, how are you doing tonight?
Good evening.
Good evening. Yes, I thank you so much for your time and staying up late with us. How are you doing after a day like today?
Well, it was a busy day. We did a lot, and I'm doing fine.
I was struck by, I think you used the most stern words in response to the bill that was passed today. I believe you called this, what we're going through, a silent cancer. Tell us a little bit about what you wanted, want our listeners to know, what you want your constituents to know about the bill that passed today.
Well, the reference to a silent cancer didn't necessarily, it referred to the bill because we're spending money that we don't have, that we only looked at one side of the equation. Specifically the spending side. Guess what? There's a revenue side, and the state is still spending more than it is bringing in, and we are piling up debt, and that debt is what I called a silent cancer. Now, we absolutely had to pass this bill, otherwise the state was simply going to continue to crumble around us, but we have to recognize that we are spending a lot more than we are bringing in.
Would you prefer a bill that included a revenue source?
We have to do some revenue. We have to get a balanced budget, which all we've done today, again, was spend needed dollars to keep the state going, to make sure the schools open, to make sure that transportation projects stay in place. But we've done nothing about looking at the revenue that is coming in, which is insufficient to support the spending on the other side.
Senator Katowski is in studio with us. I don't know if you two know each other.
Oh, yeah. Big fan of Representative Harris.
You sound like you wanted to say something, because I know that you were a part of this process until the fall. And, you know, things did change today. One of the things you mentioned is that, you know, there was everyone did their job today. Is that how you feel, Representative Harris, that everyone did their job? Or do you feel like there was something left on the table that might have been accomplished further?
Well, when you say did our job, I mean, we passed what was needed to keep the state operational for the next 6 months. Okay,
right.
That was crucial. That absolutely had to be done.
Right.
So we cast the votes. We passed the bills overwhelmingly by big margins, and in that respect, we did our jobs. But again, we did not talk about the other side of the budget, which is the revenue side of this whole thing.
And one of the things I appreciate about Representative Harris was he was always willing to look at the issue related to the budget from in a comprehensive way, in a thoughtful way. And I enjoyed working with him. He's a good man.
Well, and that was what I was impressed by today. There were so many different statements and speeches. I felt, I don't know if it's just that there was so much gravity to what you wanted to impart on everyone in the room. What is the sense you get from everybody moving forward? Is this all going to kind of be on the side until everyone goes through their elections in the House?
Absolutely. We are now out of session until after the elections. So the whole issue of a final resolution to this will not be settled until we come back in the fall after the elections have taken place. And quite frankly, based on the remarks made by both the governor and the Speaker of the House after the votes were taken, I'm not sure there's a whole heck of a lot of agreement still.
That was another thing that I was kind of experiencing was there was a little bit of, there was no hidden attack. It was very, my Speaker of the House said, you know, there was no agenda in this bill. And basically, very much, we got what we wanted. We protected the middle class. What do you think about that? Do you take that as though the implication is that the Republicans are attacking the middle class? That's what it could sound like.
No, the Speaker, and I think in some respects, I think it's been hyperbole. He says that the governor's agenda is to destroy the middle class.
Right.
Well, I think that's a bit excessive. The Speaker clearly disagrees with what the governor wants to do. So he has taken the tack that he has, that it's an attack on the middle class. I understand where the Speaker is coming from. I understand where the governor is coming from. And they are at odds. The Speaker was very clear that this bill passed because the governor, as he said, as the Speaker said, did not push what is a personal agenda. The governor, on the other hand, said that this is a bridge to further reform measures. Quite frankly, those statements are at odds, and I think that after the election we come back, We are still going to be fighting the battle that we had prior to this vote today.
And we don't know what the turnout will be for this election and what the results will be. And a lot could change between now and January as far as what the makeup is in the House of Representatives. And who knows if you know how much groundwork has to be laid before we start again to get a full budget. Would you say that's accurate?
Oh, you never know what an election looks like. You can ask the British that. You never know what the outcome is going to be.
That's true.
You can... You can look at this, too. When you think about, I know you were very involved in Medicaid reform and how important it is to look at these items and say, well, you know, this is going to take some time. And it would be interesting to see if moving forward, you're going to take a bill and you know, anything that has been of significance typically takes a while. Mm-hmm. And it takes people from both sides of the aisle to work together to get it done. So if there's items that are reform agendas, are on the agenda, what's going to sit down, what people are going to sit down, what are they going to negotiate and how are they going to work it out? And it doesn't happen overnight. Anything major that's happened in, you know, Springfield is, I mean, this is not a pretty process. It's not a perfect process by any stretch of the imagination, but sometimes in a very, very noticeable way, I used to say, well, the building would move, mm-hmm. But it takes time for that to happen. And if so, and I think it's important. I think when there's people in leadership positions on both sides of the aisle, people like Representative Harris, and I know Representative Davis is going to be on, and they're folks who can get things done. If they sit down and they have the time to do it, and it's not like tied into something like where you have the equivalent of having a gun pointed to your head and say, you got to get this done now. Right.
Well, but that's something, Representative Harris, I was wondering about. Someone mentioned to me that you guys had to do something today. Otherwise, the pain would be, you know, there would be rioting. Actually, it was something that the governor mentioned that I've heard several times today, that was why something was accomplished. Is that accurate?
Well, sure. The pressures were building, no matter what the issue was, whether it was human services, social services, funding for the schools, higher education. All of those are legitimate functions of state government, and they needed to be funded, and they hadn't been funded properly for the past year. So the pressure was very, very strong to get something done. There was, as was referenced here by Dan, there was a willingness to come together and say, we've got to do something. Everything else was put aside, and we came up with this temporary agreement. Of course, the problem is it's only a temporary agreement, and it's only 6 months. The people of the state of Illinois deserve a 12-month budget.
Hey, Patty?
Yes.
I have a question for both of your legislator guests. I'm just curious, how much of this is about someone who brought their business skills to public service, not understanding that there is a difference between how you run a business and how you run government, and that compromise is the order of the day when it comes to governing?
Representative Harris?
Oh, look, the governor was elected by the people of the state of Illinois. No matter what his background was, it is fair to say that he can offer ideas of where he wants to take the state and what he wants to do. Now, his ideas were, you know, let's reform collective bargaining and workers' compensation and property taxes and the like. And the speaker and the president of the Senate felt that his ideas were at odds with what they wanted to accomplish. So there was clearly a butting of the heads for the past year. It had to be worked out. You needed compromise. There was compromise on both sides when it came to the budget. I don't know that there's any compromise. There's not a big amount of compromise yet on the major issues that the governor wants to achieve with his ideas. Now, he has backed off on some of the ones that he initially put forward, but we'll see how far that goes when we come back again and talk the issues further.
That's what I was going to ask you next, is how do you think it will last until January, this sense of compromise and negotiation? Because as well as things seem to go, one, I know that your urgency in imparting information, you know, letting people know how far we have come and yet how far we need to go. There was also that moment, and we're going to have Representative Davis on afterwards. There are obviously issues that people have for their constituents, for their communities that they're going to fight for. So how much might that fall apart in the next 6 months?
Are you talking, was that
I'm sorry, Representative Harris, yes.
Oh, yeah. Well, for the next 6 months, the focus is going to be on the legislators on the election.
Right.
And I don't know that you're going to see a whole lot of give and take over the next 6 months. Everyone's going to say, okay, let's see what happens at the election and go from there. Is the balance of power going to change in any way in the House? And I think that will be an instrumental action based on or an instrumental action portending what happens with any compromise after the election.
You know, one of the things that David asked that question, but it's an important one. And it's my son was studying the Constitution this year. And we talk about this. I said, and one thing that I think not as many people are mindful of, that there are co-equal branches of government. You know, that in you have the House, you have the Speaker of the House who runs, you have the Senate President, you have the governor. They're co-equal branches of government, and they need to interact. The House and the Senate pass a budget. The governor has the authority to spend or not spend money, right? He has that authority constitutionally. And many people are not aware of that and not aware of the fact that you have to coexist and work together. And I'd say this, like, so when people tell me about, like, you know, running a business, like it's something I'm running a nonprofit right now, and I can basically give a directive and we can make a decision. And mm-hmm. I still have to work with my board to eliminate a program. But when you're working with legislators, you have 118 state reps, and you have 59 senators, and they all represent their own area, their own constituency. Right. And they all have to be responsive to them.
Right.
And they're going to say, well, I don't know if I'm going to vote for that. And that's just that's reality. So it's you know, I think it is a challenge to incorporate some certain mentalities into governing. And it sounds to me like some adjustments were made this week.
Yeah, I agree. And I hope that we can have you back again sooner rather than later. It's been a while since we've spoken to you, Representative Harris. I know it's been a long day. Is there anything you wanted to add before we let you go?
No. It's good to talk to you. It's great to be on the radio where you can just wear a T-shirt and jeans versus being on TV.
Well, someday you'll have to come down because T-shirt and jeans is okay in studio as well. And I don't know if we're going to have our budget crisis corner again anytime soon because I'm not sure. You know, I want people to, you know, have a break and, you know, we don't have to hit it so hard. But we are inviting legislators in every week, every Friday. Yes, Senator?
I just want to say when I was talking about in reference, you know, how sometimes people say you think someone's a good man or a good woman who's a legislator. When I left the Senate, there was a few people wrote me notes, and Representative Harris wrote me a handwritten note. They wished me well, and he's a good man, he's a stand-up guy, and I appreciate that.
Well, you're very kind. Thank you.
Well, thank you, Representative Harris. And by the way, Senator, my letter's in the mail. Have a great night,
Representative. Still waiting.
Have a great night. We'll talk to you again soon. Happy 4th of July.
Bye now.
Thank you, sir. More after this on 720 WGN. You are listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase studio. We are talking about the events of today in Springfield. We now have a stopgap spending bill, which will help make sure that schools open on time, that a lot of construction gets done. A lot of other human services will be funded, not fully funded, but at least until January. And one of the most dramatic moments of the day, I felt, came from Representative Davis, who wanted to let his fellow legislators know that there's nothing wrong with advocating for your communities. And Representative Davis, thank you so much for joining us tonight. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. I was really was struck by that moment. Everything was kind of moving along at a clip. There were several bills that had come up, they passed, and they were going to move on to the Senate Bill 2047, which was the funding that I just mentioned. And things kind of stopped for a little bit. There was an amendment that was added. Do you want to talk a little bit about what went down in that time?
Well, what started earlier in the day was conversation about prioritizing some projects that were important to members of the Legislative Black Caucus. There had been projects to go to Board of Higher Education, Illinois Community College Board, that would allow for minority individuals who are in teacher education programs to have access to resources to help them complete those programs so they could be teachers here in Illinois, and higher education teachers here in Illinois. There were bridge programs for young people that would allow for assistance to help them make those transitions from high school to community colleges. But if you're in the community colleges, to help with those transitions to four-year institutions,
right.
among others. And so we voiced those concerns in our caucus at the beginning of the day. And as a result, the speaker had an amendment drafted that was subsequently filed to that bill that would allow for the prioritization of the funding. So let me be clear. This was not adding any more spending to what we were already planning, because those dollars are already being lump sum to those institutions. But when they're lump sum, the discretion in terms of how the dollars are spent goes out of the hands of the General Assembly. So our amendment was simply an attempt to try to prioritize the spending for those particular programs in those various agencies.
And by that, and again, for anyone who's joining us, we are talking about the events today in Springfield. And this is a moment where it seemed like things were happening very quickly. And you and the Black Caucus wanted to make sure that there was attention paid to this. And when you say prioritize, it means dedicating this money, ensuring that it goes where you know it is needed. Not that it's not needed in other places, but it wasn't extra money. Because I didn't know that until you just said that. My sense in the press box was, I heard things like, now they're going to hold up billions of spending for adding $10 million or something like that. Like, that's the kind of, those are the kinds of things that were kind of rippling through both sides of the aisle.
Well, and that's true, because the moment that amendment came up, that is exactly the comments of the governor. Comments of Republicans in the Senate as well as Republicans in the House.
Right.
You know, that they're going to derail this, or specifically the Black Caucus is going to derail all the spending for $10 million. And I think our position was, out of $30 billion, we're having this conversation about $10 million in particular. Mm-hmm. And it's not just frivolous spending. These are programs specifically designed to help minorities, which therein lies the crux of my comments about prioritizing programs that are important to communities and individuals like the ones that I represent. And there's nothing wrong with me standing up to do that as well. Part of the reality is that what was being prioritized in this conversation was road projects. Now, I can argue that when you look at road projects, look at who works on road projects, that the reflection of the diversity of the state is not always reflected in that type of work. But we were willing to make sure that road projects were funded, but programs that would help African-American kids who had an interest in A, being teachers at the higher education level, or continuing their education from community college to four-year institutions, but somehow or another, that was a big deal, and members didn't want to fund it. And I was just a little put off by that. And part of my comments were also reflecting on the history.
Right.
As an appropriations chair, I'm a part of the budget working group. So I can say that when the governor's office presented, particularly in human services, their stopgap funding bill, there were specific items that had been funded in previous years that were specific to the African-American community that the governor had zeros next to.
So when
people like Ron Sandak and Jim Durkin, talk about, that they don't care about my comments about them, that they don't care about minority communities. Well, I can go back and look at the governor's introduced budget, or more recently, the stopgap bill that the governor put forward that did not fund programs like that, as the proof, as the evidence. Now, if it was that important to them, did they say, governor, no, you got to fund these programs? The Black Caucus has worked with us before, so let's throw them a bone or two and make sure we fund these programs. That advocacy wasn't there. And when that advocacy is not there from members of that caucus in particular, it needs to come from, it has to come from, members of the Illinois Legislative Black Caucus. And today's attempt was nothing more than being that advocate.
Well, and some of your frustration, I'm sorry, Senator Gutowski's in the studio too, and I know that he's been wanting to say something as well.
How are you, Representative?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. Do you miss me? Because if you don't, it wouldn't hurt my feelings, because I miss you, buddy.
Absolutely.
No, what he's saying is it's really important part of the process. And I had the honor of working with Representative Davis when we negotiate budgets. And it is a big state, and there are different caucuses. It would be surprising to people, but there's the Downstate Caucus, Suburban Caucus, Black Caucus, Latino Caucus, and
Women's Caucus.
There is, well, people who are women who are parts of the caucuses, and yeah. So
is there
a
Special Needs Family Caucus?
There isn't a Polish Bald Caucus, but I wanted to start one. But the point is,
Yeah, the White Caucus. It's most of the legislature. Assembly. What?
But we would figure out. We'd sit down and say, "Well, these are some of the areas that needed to be included in the budget," and that was what was negotiated and included. And what's key, what Representative Davis is talking about, it is a part of the process. And it's a completely natural part of the process. And what's the other point that he raised? The funds, this is what's so interesting that people are not aware of. There are naturally replenishing funds that built up billions in surplus dollars for road projects for 5 years out, right? And then there's this whole discussion that says that money that's dedicated to invest in communities that would flourish and benefit from this investment that otherwise would not be invested in,
right?
To the extent that the bill generates, there's a huge hue and cry over that. Yet when it comes to these sacrosanct road projects that have these funds that have billions in surplus, people are like, oh no, you can't touch that. Right. You can't touch that. And his point is an excellent one, because it shows your priorities.
Right.
And it's one of these areas where people are like, oh, my God, we can't touch that. And what we talk about is like, what's the purpose of a road that can be traversed on? And it's a nice road, but you can't take the road to a job.
Right.
You can't take a road. The service has been cut out. What's the point?
Well, and here's what I saw, Representative Davis, when you were really the words, there's nothing wrong with pleading the case of my community, basically was what you were saying. And I don't think that just stands for the African-American community, because I've been there during committee hearings with families who are under a lot of stress and a lot of distress. And what I heard in your voice is something that reflected our sort of frustration with the attitude we got when we went down there, which is kind of like, okay, fine, your little pet project or whatever's important to you, but the big boys are going to be over here doing our thing. That was kind of the tone. And I've been, last year when I was there, there were bills that would come up that were particular to minority issues, and I felt like there was a giant eye roll. And I don't know if that's something that you have dealt with or that's a sense that you get, because that's what you addressed, was that sense of like maybe the applause wasn't because they removed the amendment. But I understood your frustration. Tell us a little bit about that moment.
Well, again, while the Black Caucus was trying to, I guess, figure out which direction we wanted to go in this endeavor. So initially, when the amendment was put on the board, there was a long break there. And Leader Lang, who was in the chair at the time, said, well, we'll just take a little recess and come back. And unfortunately, before we got back, there was a decision made to remove the amendment. Now, we were clear in our desire to talk to other members of the caucus just to find out which direction we wanted to go. But then all of a sudden, the amendment was removed and it was gone. Without any discussion with us, not without checking with us. Now, I can speculate maybe why that happened. And unfortunately, you know, that was a decision made on my side of the aisle to do so. But to do that before there was any conversation with the caucus to say, how do you guys want to proceed? You know, that was a little challenging. But moving forward into the broader discussion, again, that's why I purposely kind of walked through that amendment. I didn't want it to be an elephant in the room. Let's bring it out. Let's talk about it. Let other people understand why, you know, the amendment was even filed in the first place. But more importantly, when that amendment was removed off the board, you heard applause from the other side of the aisle. And when I mentioned that, Jim Durkin didn't. He nodded his head. Yes, I applauded. And that just kind of further fueled, well, why would you applaud something like that? So are you applauding because an attempt by the Black Caucus was foiled of some sort? But again, being a part of those discussions, I can show you the history of where the Republicans and the governor had no interest in really supporting some of the items that we thought were important. And again, if this was about bringing members to the table, you know, bringing more people than you're pushing away, when they brought forward their version of the stopgap bill in our budget meetings, then they should have included those. And then they could have argued that, well, if we include these, you know, the overall percentage spread across the human services spend might be a couple of percentage points lower. And so either you guys can put some more revenue on the table or determine whether or not you want
the percentages to be higher,
right?
You know, and move those things around. But we weren't even given that choice because they never put it on the table.
I could feel your frustration, and I want to say I hope your constituents know how passionately you fight for them and your community. Is there anything you want to let people know? What district do you represent?
I represent the 30th district, which is wholly in the south suburbs, from Riverdale to Homewood, from Dalton to Oak Forks.
And how can people contact you? Because I think what's going to be important going forward, and this is why I do this, Representative, is to let people know that as frustrating as it is, our legislators are available and will listen to what's important to us. So how can people reach out to you?
Well, I encourage people to call my office, and while, you know, I could offer an email address, but I like to talk to people, and I think the dialogue is very healthy. So the number to my district office out in East Hazelcrest in the south suburbs is area code 708-799-7300.
Well, I appreciate your time, too, and thank you for that. And we will post some of the information on our Facebook page as well. We look forward to having you in studio sometime if you are available.
Oh, that would absolutely be my pleasure to be able to come sit in the studio with you.
Please. Absolutely.
No.
Of course. And have a great 4th of July weekend, and we'll talk to you soon.
Thank you very much. Have a good holiday yourself.
You too. That's Representative Davis. And it was an interesting day, and I thought that was an important conversation to have because it's not one we've had on this show. We need to know more about the rest of our state, and I know people have reached out to me and said, I want to know about this community and that community. And as we go forward, I will make sure that we reach out to as many legislators as we possibly can. Carm, how are you doing?
I'm doing great, Patty. I am always doing great when I'm in studio with you, Patty Vasquez. You know that.
It wasn't like some sort of a challenge as to how you, I mean, you know.
Did I come across like I answered it like a challenge?
Like a challenge. I'm fine.
I'm great.
You're very politically minded.
I am.
But I feel like for some people, their interests are varied, right? Like I obviously am very passionate about state politics.
Right.
Probably more so than I am about city politics. And I would say even more so than national politics.
Well, I think I do represent most people in the state right now that just fall under the completely exhausted by the entire process. No faith that it's going to get better. Wondering how high my taxes are going to be. That type of angle, and I think it's yes.
No, go ahead. Do you think it's what? Please tell me.
Well, I think it's very interesting talking to Dan and hearing optimism of what's possible going forward. That's those are conversations that we've been having off the air in the last hour. So that was good to hear some positivity because honestly, I haven't heard any.
Oh, today there was a lot in Springfield. I assure you, I had not seen anything like this. They were on both sides. Some of them were positively giddy with getting something done.
Well, but they didn't really solve anything.
Well,
they're
getting the schools open. They're making sure that there's a lot of funding that isn't lost, as Senator Katowski mentioned with the CTA. Oh, that was off the air. That CTA receives a lot of federal funding, and one of the bills that passed today captures that. There's
right.
$800 million that we could have lost.
Right, that's the super TIF bill.
The super TIF. Yes.
Right. But we're still spending more than we bring in.
You
right?
Know, and I'm going to let the senator, I'm going to turn your microphone off so you can enjoy. Just enjoy yourself. Sit back. And you want to?
No, no, no. You can't. Okay.
Here's one of the questions I asked today, because everyone talks about how, you know, this has been a Democrat, basically run by Democrats for decades because of Madigan and, you know, various governors, not all the governors. We've had Governor Edgar, Governor Ryan, Governor Thompson.
Right.
And so a lot of it comes down to kicking the can down the field of using pension funds like a credit card. So why did we do that was one of the questions I asked today. Why did we use the pension funds as credit cards? My guess is for the same reason we don't want to raise taxes today. No one wanted to go back to their district and say, I just raised taxes. So we didn't raise taxes back in the 70s and the 80s or even before that.
Is it using the pension funds as credit cards, or is it just simply ignoring the fact that you were supposed to make the contributions to the pension fund?
Credit cards.
Okay.
I think. Senator might have a different answer.
No. What essentially happened was that money was borrowed from the
pension fund. How is that not like a credit card?
Well, so here's the right. There's supposed to have been a payment to go towards the pension fund.
Right.
So you're both right. Money's supposed to go towards the pension fund, and it wasn't. So as a result, it was delayed. And as a consequence, the payment ballooned.
So
right?
why do we borrow against the pension?
So here's what happened.
Yeah,
people wanted to give the impression they were investing more money in education, and actually the unions were on board with it at the time, and everybody else was on board, and they agreed it was a bipartisan action, and so they didn't pay money for the pensions. They looked like they, you know, it was a smart move because there was more money invested in education, when in fact they could have just made the pension payment.
There you go. You are listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase studio. Just got back from Springfield, where I was hanging out with the likes of Representative Robert Martwick. How you doing, Representative?
I'm good. I'm hanging in there. A little worse for the wear, but, you know, it goes with the job.
Well, what do you want to tell people about what happened today and what it means going forward? You have a short-term budget, and do you feel hopeful that this means good things in the future?
Well, as I've been saying, it's cause for optimism, but not celebration. And, the process of the legislature, right, at least for the last 18 months, has not involved trust. There's been a lot of concern from both sides about the way that the process is being handled. And to be able to sit down and drop all of the politics, I mean, it wasn't. It went on, right? I mean,
I was going to say, drop all the politics. I don't know. What second was that?
Well, the governor, you know, would continue to make his statements, but at least in the working groups, they sat down in earnest. They put that aside while they were at the table, and they worked out a compromise. And I think that bodes well for the future. I think it's something we can build on. I hope so. The reason it's not cause for celebration is that the big structural problems of our state remain. We do not have enough revenue to pay for all of the things that we just promised to pay for. So, you know, ultimately we have to get around to that component. And, the governor was able to put aside his turnaround agenda and focus in on the problems of the state, which is something, you know, I've been saying he should have done from the get-go. So maybe that will, you know, hopefully that will continue.
And what would you tell constituents now between the elections and coming up to January? For all they know, the legislature they have in their district right now, the representative, may not even be in office. How involved and what should they know about their elected officials?
Well, I think that everyone's got to really has to make a choice. And you and I have talked about this. It's time for people to decide what the path forward is for Illinois. And you know, I've heard a lot where your average citizen says, well, I don't care about the fighting anymore. Well, it's time to. It's time to decide what the right path forward is for Illinois. It's time for us all to decide. And you know, do we want more of what has brought us to this point? Do we want to return to some sort of stability? What's the right path forward? So I hope that if anything, this experiment with the governor has served to make people kind of investigate what they really want out of their government and what the right path forward is.
There was a moment where I believe it was Representative Curry mentioned that, you know, the Republicans have been talking about, you know, working together and trusting each other. And then she said, and then why did you start robocalling 2 hours before we've taken this vote?
And that, it's,
first of all, for people who don't know what that means, I'm guessing that there were calls placed to constituents saying, accusing the Democrats of something. What were the robocalls entailing?
And I don't know the content of them, but that, of course, is what she was referring to. I don't need any translation there. So obviously, in some of the districts where we have contested races, there were automated calls being placed to constituents 2 hours before we actually voted on an agreement, accusing them of something. And again, you know, I think this is where the governor has lacked. And, you know, a lot of people like to blame the speaker for a lot of the problems that we've had. And that's fair. I'm not a defender of the speaker. He doesn't need my help in that respect. But, you know, his process through this, or his demeanor through this whole 18-month process, he's not been the one in the media calling people corrupt, calling them communists. He has been a statesman throughout this. And I think that's sort of the problem that you see with the governor, is that he has not yet learned. And listen, he never served a day in government office before he took the oath of office to be the highest office holder in the state of Illinois. Never served a day. So he's learning on the job.
But Representative, surely a businessman can come in and fix a ledger and see what needs to be cut and how we can run the state at a profit.
Yeah, well, you know how I feel about that. No, and that's one of the biggest problems that we faced, is that the governor did not know how to govern. He has not known how to be a statesman, and he has shown that by, you know, how many times did we have a meeting where we would sit down and have a meeting to try and sort out things, and right before the meeting he would speak to the press and he would start making accusations, personal accusations, against the people he was about to sit down and negotiate with. That might be a good tactic in the sort of business that he ran, but it's not the way to show respect to your fellow elected officials.
Before we let you go, I know that you've sent a letter, a note to your constituents. I received one because I do live in your district. You've mentioned it's not something to celebrate, but what would you say is the biggest element of this you feel satisfied with? Is it that no part of the agenda is really reflected in this bill?
Well, I think that there is.
Oh.
Sorry, I dropped my phone. I don't know if you heard that bang, but no, I think that there is some good news here, right? There is going to be some money that is going to make its way to the Chicago Public Schools to help stabilize their very, very dire financial situation. It's not everything, but again, that's the nature of compromise in a democracy. You don't always get everything you want, but we were able to create some change there, both in terms of providing money and providing avenues for them to solve their own problems, which I think is really important. So there were some good things that were done in terms of stabilizing our government, making sure that it didn't crumble around us. But we just have a long way to go. We have got to get to long-term financial solutions to the problems.
Well, it's everyone just settle in. We got a little bit accomplished, but there's more to do. And I want to thank Representative Martwick for joining us. And enjoy your evening and have a great 4th of July weekend.
Thanks, Patty. You too.
Thank you so much. More after this on 720 WGN. I think sports. Sports next. Scott Santa's in the studio. We'll do sports. We'll wipe the slate clean and do some sport. What do you think? You don't? Oh, yeah. No, it's okay. I'll
sure.
Okay. More after this on 720 WGN. Wow. That's on the air. You're listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase studio. And, of course, that music means that Mark Carmen's here. Carm has been gone from us. We missed you last week.
I missed you too, Patty.
And I'm glad that you're in studio, and I'm hanging out with some of my favorite people before I take a night off. I'm not here tomorrow.
I'll be sitting in your seat tomorrow night. Myself and Rachel Woodall will be flying the big ship for Patty's. What are you doing tomorrow night that you can't work?
I'm going to see Indigo Girls.
Come on.
At Ravinia.
No, you're not.
Yeah, why is that a bad thing?
Nothing.
Do you need parking?
I'm closer to fine, my friend.
You are.
Are you driving out there? Or are you taking the train?
I'm driving out there.
If you need parking, get a hold of me.
Oh, really? Do you have parking?
I have connections, yes.
Okay, good.
What's your favorite Indigo Girls song?
Closer to Fine is one of them. Galileo is one of my favorites.
I love Virginia Woolf. Do you like that song?
Virginia Woolf's good.
Yeah, that's a great song.
Are you going with your husband?
The Resting Soul of Galileo. No, my...
Well, I don't know why that's even funny.
I was asking people to go. I was yes, exactly. Thank you. I waited in line to see, and they're the only musicians I've ever waited in line for an autograph. And I wore overalls construction boots so that they would flirt with me.
And did they?
Like, they did. Yes, Emily flirted with me. Amy wasn't impressed.
I wore the same outfit. They didn't do that to me.
That's a true story. Right here at the Barnes & Noble that used to be down by. Is it still there? Yeah.
So you haven't said who you're going with?
I don't know yet. I've asked my friends, huh? Do you want to go to Indigo Girls? Oh, you can't go.
It's tomorrow night.
It's tomorrow night.
I don't feel like the Indigos... I'm greatly happy to do your show tomorrow night, but I don't feel like that precludes you from doing the show.
I wasn't supposed to be here this week. I was planning to be out of town this week.
Okay. Yeah. 4th of July weekend. I get it.
No, I was supposed to... Yeah, and I was,
who's opening up for them?
Mary Chapin Carpenter.
Oh, you're kidding.
I'm not
Passionate
kidding.
Passionate Kisses, great
Stop
song.
Talking to me
Stop
like that.
I love that song.
Well, the reason why I asked if Patty was going with her husband, because, you know, Ravinia, it's a nice romantic setting. You can have a little good makeout just to, you know, while you're listening to the Indigo Girls. I know Patty's looking, you know, you don't kiss your husband. What is going on over there? Jeez, not in public. A little smooch with a bottle of wine at an Indigo Girls. Come on.
I don't think I've ever made out with my husband in public. He's not a make out.
How about a handhold? Can you hold a hand?
Oh yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Okay, well there you go.
It's hard for us to get, the reason I paused is it's very hard for us to get babysitters. We have no caretaker for Declan. We haven't had a babysitter in probably 2 years because, you know, the state hasn't had any funding, so our respite care was cut. So thank you for any other questions that you have.
I didn't know we were going to.
I know. That's why I always smile. That's why when people just say things that they don't know, and then I give them the rest of the answer, and they're like, that's really unnecessary to share that with me. We don't get to go out on dates very often.
Yeah. Well, Mark and I and Scott are going to have to do it.
We go out on dates when the boys are in school because I'm free all day long.
We're going on a date?
No, we're going to babysit.
Where did this go?
Wait,
this took a weird turn.
We go on a date.
Do you guys all want to see Wham?
We are going to see Wham. Wake me up before you go.
Ooh. Who are we calling tonight for our wake-up call tonight? Carm, you've been gone for a week.
Yes.
Was it 10 days you were going home?
No, I was gone really 8 days, Sunday to Sunday.
Okay.
So
what were you doing?
I was in the woods, Patty. I was hanging out with some growth-minded people, really putting it all on the line for a week. I was cooking breakfast at 6 a.m. I was prepping meals. I was running garbage up and down hills. It was a whole extravaganza.
So boot camp. You went to boot camp.
I went to a little boot camp.
Or you joined a cult.
Nah, I wouldn't call it a cult. But we did sing some songs. There's some really powerful.
Was there an outhouse situation? What was the what was that?
It's interesting that you asked that. I was staying. I stayed in a trailer.
Okay.
So some people did shower longer than they should have. So what happens in that situation is that you do have to, unscrew the old latch underneath the trailer and then dump the water. So the next person who showers isn't swimming in a puddle of things. So
how many times does it take for that to happen when you learn the process?
The process of
realizing that you have to make sure.
Well, I was not willing to help because I was not I would be in that shower for literally a minute, and then I decided that the shower is not the shower that I'm going to choose to be in. So I was doing some outdoor showering situations because there was, there's some outdoor shower.
Why wouldn't you outdoor shower? Yeah. That's the best thing ever.
Right.
Were you near a lake or was it just a?
There was some body of water there and there were turtles in it, but I wouldn't call it a lake, even though it probably was a lake. It's not like a lake you would ever swim in. You just kind of looked at it and be like, that's water. Okay.
Yes, Scott.
Were you bathing with soap?
I did bathe with soap, Esmeralda, yes. Although I went to one of the showers and actually left my bar of soap there. So then I was out of soap for a couple of days, which that wasn't great. But then
what kind of soap was it?
And then I recalibrated into
it. I like to know what's a soap.
Was it your standard dial? Yeah, standard white dial, sure.
Standard white dial. Gross. All right, see?
No Irish Spring? No one's an Irish Spring kind of
I enjoy a green Irish Spring every now and then.
No, it's blue now.
It's blue now? Wait, it's not green anymore?
It's blue. It's a little pungent. She's right.
What? No.
Can you still carve on it? Oh, yeah. The Irish Spring is not as good as it once was.
No, it makes your skin all squeaky.
Does
squeaky
which means it worked.
No, that's not good. It makes your skin very dry. Use some Dove.
Dove, huh?
A lot of cream in there. It's too
I don't feel like Dove gets you clean.
It's too slickery.
Quarter cup of cream in that.
It doesn't. There's a film. There's a residue.
You're right.
There's a residue, right?
Yeah. You're with me?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
This is so much better than passing a Senate bill 2047.
No, lava. Lava is real. That's
gritty.
Yes, it exfoliates three layers of
on your body?
It makes a man of you.
You're clean. You smell clean. You feel good.
312-981-7200. What's the soap that will get you the cleanest and also caresses your body at the same time?
And you still smell like air, somewhat aromatic, right?
Esmeralda, what's your go-to?
Dove.
I use Bliss, bergamot, and vanilla is mine.
Say what? Wait, what?
Dove, the green one.
It's Clarence the Angel?
Bliss.
Patty definitely.
Didn't you order that? And It's a Wonderful
and
Life?
And I use a charcoal sponge to exfoliate.
Ooh, very nice.
Charcoal sponge. Awesome. Is it a loofah? Does it come with
a
loofah?
Mark, so you lost your soap. Does that mean that someone is like you and is using used soaps?
Well, it's interesting that you bring that up, that I do use other people's
soap.
I use
not just other people's, public soap.
Yeah, I go borrow soap, Public Action at the health club because I feel like it's an environmentally healthy decision.
What? What did he just say?
The senator just got the heebie-jeebies.
Well, I belong to a fine health club that has the bottle of liquid soap, and it also provides you with the bar, and I like the feeling of a bar. So what I've done...
A used bar?
Absolutely.
Live dangerously.
It's soap. What do you think is going to happen?
All right, well, let's get into the nitty-gritty. Do you know where that soap has been?
I take the soap on the jar. I put it underneath the shower spray.
You were in the woods for a week.
I let it do a couple rinses, and now we're back to good, and I'm in there.
You don't go for digging in there to get the stuff out of there.
If there is remnant hairs out there,
all right, see, that's what I'm saying. Right?
I won't touch a hair.
All right,
if
there's curlies in there, you're not going in.
But if you do a rinse through, that curly's gone 99% of the time.
Esmeralda and I are convulsions.
Yeah, I'm struggling. I'm with you though.
Wait, what?
I'm struggling though. I'm trying to back him up because he's a good guy.
I'm just not a germaphobe.
Seriously, I'm not close. But that's the one. For some reason, that went right to my spine.
Your definition of a germaphobe is someone that doesn't use a random bar of soap. That's what a germaphobe is to you. Like everything.
It's soap. Like what could possibly be going on? It's a bar.
That's like diving into someone else's germs. I'm not okay with germs. I'm going to just slather myself in other people's germs.
But I bet his immune system is awesome. You don't believe in the rinsing process?
No,
he's going to survive the nuclear war.
Everyone needs to understand. Carm also eats random food at Wrigley Field.
Okay.
Wait, what?
I don't know.
This is not true. This can't be true. Is it the peanut shells?
Do you see how it
wasn't
me, Carm? I didn't throw you under it.
No, I think Craig's referring to
the hot dog incident. You know, what?
Craig's referring to a time where I was holding a giant pretzel at a concert and somebody bumped into me and the pretzel went skidding across the nasty Wrigley Field concourse and I picked that thing up and said,
No, that's not what he's talking about. I think he's talking about when you were
peanuts.
You have also admitted finding random food at Wrigley Field.
Well, I will.
That's random. Your own that you drop, and you know how long it's been on the ground. That's one thing. That's wrong.
Yeah, there's a 3 second.
That's a snap
rule.
Decision. Exactly. Yeah. That's what you.
Right. Okay.
You calculate.
So you're good with that. Well, yeah, so what he's done talking about is if I'm walking out of Wrigley, and there's bags of peanuts that they're in the shell. If I'm a little hungry for a little snack, I mean it's a shelled peanut. I mean what doesn't know what to do with you at all. I don't think there's anything wrong.
No, this is like
how many peanuts are left in the bag?
Say it's half a bag. That happens all the time. You got a problem with that?
I don't know. See, the thing is, if it was more like 7/8 of the bag, I'm like, all right, they only touched a few nuts. I'll take a few off the top, and then boom, I'll get half the bag, right?
But it's a nut, you're not eating the shell.
I'm just a little bit worried about the groping within the nuts and all that other stuff. Craig wasn't sure. It's manhandling the nuts that you're worried about.
You're exactly right. You don't want to grab nuts after somebody else has grabbed them.
I don't want to be. I don't want to get sloppy seconds of peanuts.
Since we're talking about that, did I talk to you about that, Patty, where I was riding the L up to Wrigley?
Oh, good God.
So I bought a bag. Here's this going. Yeah. I bought a bag of peanuts. I was leaving WGN. I go to Whole Foods. I get an upper level nut for my afternoon Friday game. I'm on the L, riding up to Wrigley, and a patron on the L looks at. She's staring at my nuts, just bearing down on them. I'm like, "Would you like a candy nut?" And she said, "She's like, I would like to try it." So I opened up this bag, not that big of a bag, you know. And she just handed in there and touched every single one and pulled it. I pulled out one.
Come on.
Yes, on the L. And
so did you proceed to eat the remaining ones?
I did like a 15 minute. She hasn't touched it for 15 minutes. I'm back in.
You gave her 15 minutes. You gave the 15 minute grace period.
Mark, you were incredibly nice because you opened the bag.
I opened the bag, Esmeralda.
Like it wasn't open yet, completely closed.
And it was like a high level nut. It wasn't like I was giving you a planter's peanut.
And to a stranger, you went, sure.
I had that.
She
wanted my nuts. I had the moment today. I was on the elevator and I got some peanut M&Ms. And I got in the elevator and this woman looked at me and she said, "Wow." She's like, "Huh? Getting a little snack at the end of the day, huh?" And I was like, "Yeah." And I'm thinking, should I offer some peanut M&Ms? And I was like, yeah, forget it. And I just started to eat. And I don't know. I guess
you,
that's
you, you feel like a missed moment. A missed moment. Well, you know what is what you're saying.
I was like so hungry that I wasn't willing to part with any of my peanut M&Ms.
Can I just say that Scott Santis doesn't know what to do with either one of you? Like,
no, this has been a revelation. I learn something new from this show every time I'm on.
If you're real hungry, are you going to share your peanuts? I don't your peanut M&Ms or your peanuts. And what you did, I don't know how hungry you were.
Did she not wait for you to? Were you going to? I'm assuming you're going to pour it into her hand, right?
Right. Well, Scott, I think I had bad form. I think I just showed her the bag and
you showed it to her.
Yeah, I probably created my own issue.
You were incredibly nice. I would never give anybody or any stranger, like if they were looking at him, like too bad. You should probably go find a bag of it at the store like I did.
Well, I appreciate that, Esmeralda. I try to be
good for you, good Samaritan.
You're a good person. You're a really good person.
Well,
thanks, everybody.
You should go into public service.
I probably
germ-ridden, but you're
I am
nice.
Going to say that
you're
what
a
you
germ-ridden,
did.
Germ-ridden, awesome person.
Now, what you did is essentially like how Contagion, that movie started, like people sharing things and then just diseases are going to spread.
All I've learned from this is that if you're on the L and you see Mark, you can grab his neck.
Okay, coming up after the news, I don't know. Good sports segment. I don't know what's going to happen next. We're going to talk about sports. You are listening pretty late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase studio, catching up with some of my favorite people, Senator Dan Katowski, the cartoonist for the Chicago Tribune, political cartoonist, Scott Santis.
That's me.
Santis? Did I say? I put a T at the end. I heard it.
People drop all sorts of letters out of my
No,
head.
It's Santis, and I shall say it appropriately.
Thank you.
And Carm. Mark Carman is here, and I think we have some sports fans in the studio.
Dan is...
Sports? No, I like the dance.
The dance. The dance. With a capital T. Small D. Yes.
Okay. Lots of everybody deep down loves athletics, Patty.
Deep down?
Deep down. Right, Scott?
Absolutely.
Thank you very much.
And Scott likes baseball?
I love baseball. Basketball. I don't like basketball. I like hockey and football and boxing. Boxing's gone to hell though.
Boxing, well, you got the Olympics coming around. There's some interesting stories over there.
Yeah.
Names are going to be difficult for me off the top of my head, but I was researching one of the fly bantamweights, 5'4", 104 pounds, headed to Rio, and he is a cocky, aggressive young man. Which I mean, if you're going to get in the ring, and even though if you're fighting guys your size, still you're 5'4", 104 pounds. That's crazy to me. So if I was 250 pounds, I don't think I'd get in a boxing ring.
But where's he from?
I want to say Newark, New Jersey. Oh. That might have been the.
Craig got very excited.
There's
it's a good place to be from.
So I think well, boxing in the Olympics is not going to get the attention that Muhammad Ali and Joe Frazier got back in the day. But it's still, as far as Olympic events go, I think it's a nice, enjoyable, quick boom, boom, boom. Let's see what's going on. Dan, right. you feeling me?
I feel you.
That's what I'm talking about.
But here's the thing. Let's ask Dan. Who's the heavyweight champion of the world right now?
Sugar Ray Leonard.
No.
This is silly.
Oh, you were so close.
It's very silly.
Nobody knows.
Everybody
should know. Everybody should know.
Jerry Cooney.
Do you think that part of that is when it became a pay-per-view, when it became inaccessible to people just watching?
It's part of it. It's also, there's personality driven. And listen, if there was a Mike Tyson in there who was getting a ton of attention, everybody would know who it was.
Was he the last big?
Listen, Floyd Mayweather got a ton of attention. Pacquiao got a ton of attention. It's not as dead as we're portraying right now. Well, but the UFC has made a significant dent as well. I mean, more people have heard of Conor McGregor and Ronda Rousey than what's going on in boxing. Right.
Esmeralda, do you know? I think it's when the Latinos took over. No one wanted to watch us.
Oh yeah, with Chavez, right? Who's the dude?
What are you talking about?
There were a bunch of Latinos came in, and they were like, "Oh, these guys."
Roberto Duran had his got a lot of acclaim back in the day.
That's what I'm saying. Oh, no. They all came in, and they were like, "This thing."
There's
this
a Chavez,
Pacquiao.
Right?
I mean, because no one.
Well, he's. I think he's Filipino.
I know. That's okay. My point. Is like, you know,
people don't even know the difference. Oh, another one.
More importantly, White Sox won tonight, Patty, and Todd Frazier.
Did.
Yes, they did. Todd Frazier with his.
You say that in a way we should like rub him on the top of the head. And go, good for you.
Well, it's been a little bit rough over there in Cleveland. Cleveland, the Indians have won 13 games in a row.
Whoa!
So that's the first time the Indians have done that since 1922.
Wow.
Doing the research over here. So that has put the White Sox in a little bit of a hold as far as the division goes. But and Todd Frazier's batting average has been hovering at 200 for a while now, but he's still leading the American League in home runs. So there's that. And the Cubs had a nauseating loss tonight, up 3-0, lose 4-3, and had runners at second and third with nobody out in the ninth, and then the bases loaded with one out in the ninth, and did not score to the New York Mets. Or versus the New York Mets, who eliminated them last year in the NLCS, which we all remember.
Yep. Is it their first game of the series?
It is the first game of the four-game set, yes.
All right, then.
And it's interesting.
First time they played them this year, too, right?
Yep, and they actually hadn't lost to the Mets since 2014 in the regular season. They swept them last year in 7-0, if you recall. The other thing that's interesting, too, is that neither the White Sox or the Cubs are home Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, both on the road for the 4th of July weekend. That just does not happen. Both are home on Monday for the actual 4th, but they're both off this weekend. So for those of us who have no creativity in our lives and we just like to go to baseball
there's
games, no, like, what are we going to do this
there's
weekend?
There's no baseball this weekend?
Not in town, no.
What?
I know. What are we
going
to do?
Yeah, what are you doing for the 4th, Senator?
I'm going to...
going to Door County?
No, I'm going to Phelps, Wisconsin. Big Sand Lake.
What?
Yeah.
I've never heard of Phelps, Wisconsin.
That's exactly.
That's why you're going there?
Exactly.
Carm, what are you doing?
Well,
I'm going to be hosting the pet.
What? No, I'm not dismissing
you. No, I don't
want to
talk about it. Yeah, yeah.
All right, then.
I'm going to be hosting pretty late with...
that's Saturday. That's Friday night into Saturday.
And Saturday the beat, Sunday the beat. Perhaps I'll have a social outing here or there.
Do you want to walk in the 4th of July parade in Skokie and in Evanston? I have the fan van. Oh, no one ever wants to come with me on the fan van. Do you want to?
Oh, I would have come.
You can
had
see,
I not had great plans
Phelps,
that you
Wisconsin.
Totally dismissed
Scott,
on the
do
air.
You want to, it's just me and my mom so far. And I if you come with, you have
I'm
to walk. Doing,
I'm filling in for Nick D Monday morning from 2 to 5 a.m. And then I'm actually making a Skype presentation to the Astronomical Society meeting in the Canary Islands. I'm not kidding.
What?
Yeah.
Isn't that you cool? Haven't lived till you've seen Scantantas on Skype.
Seriously, what did you just say?
What did I just say? No, I presented it.
Say it again.
I did a piece. I did a cartoon essay on dark skies and how you can't see stars in Chicago and how screwed up that is. And they invited me to speak. And when they first set the invitation, I said, this is awesome. A free trip to the Canary Islands. This will be great. And so, well, we're not paying for you to fly out.
Oh.
I went, oh.
How good's your Wi-Fi?
Yeah, well, we're about to find out.
Can you tell those of us who don't know exactly where the Canary Islands are?
They are off of the coast of Spain, right? Mm. Or a little south of Spain.
I say you throw the money in for that.
You're flying to Spain?
No,
no,
Skyping
I'm
to Spain.
I'm Skyping, too.
Oh, that's not exciting.
It's just
yeah,
no, internet. It's not nearly as interesting.
It's exciting. It's almost exciting.
It's kind of cool. What are you going to wear? What are you going to wear?
I don't know. I don't have to wear pants, though, so that's kind of awesome. Wow. No, but and I'm doing this on the heels of being up doing the 2 to 5.
But you're wearing heels.
Of course. They accentuate my calves. Are you crazy?
No pants, yet heels. Love it.
This world is like, great. That's my shift.
I want you to wear a sleeveless tee with like a tattoo of the Big Dipper on your arm. Said,
oh, that works.
This is what you're missing.
I can do this.
Can you do that?
Yeah, mm-hmm. You guys over. Well, actually, that's one of the darkest guys in the Northern Hemisphere. So, in the.
Does Scott have shorts on tonight? I forgot to check.
Yes.
Okay, good.
Oh, yeah.
He looks
make sure you wear those next week, too.
What?
Every week for the rest of the summer.
Yeah.
Why are you making me
do
this?
Because we don't know. We don't
what
know.
What don't we know?
We don't know.
She's not telling me what we don't know.
Like
do you know
Michael
what she
Phelps.
Knows?
I want to see your legs in the studio every week until otherwise.
Yeah. Scott, if I may
your
ask
good
you.
Basque strong legs, yes?
Where are you coming from that you're wearing what you're wearing right now? You got a
I told him to wear shorts every time he came in here.
I came from home.
You did come from home. Okay.
Why?
Well, because you walked in, I thought you might have been right for the softball field, but then you're a little too casual even for that.
Yeah.
So you're right out of bed, right to Patty.
Yeah, this
is adorable.
Yeah.
Carm brings up an excellent point. Do we have a station softball team? I haven't got a single email about playing.
No,
Brad tried to organize one. I think one exists.
It never took off?
No, it's defunct this year.
You can play for Tronc.
I don't understand what you just said.
Tronc. Yeah, we need players.
I know. I was asked by a couple people. I don't have it in me.
You're a player, aren't you?
I am a player.
You're
a player.
You got a lot of power. You got a lot of power.
I can mostly run. I can mostly run these days. I don't know. I was never a power hitter. I was a contact
mostly
hitter.
Mostly run as opposed to partially run?
Yeah. If you hit the ball, I'll run for you. Can I just be your base runner?
Oh.
Yeah.
You want to
I can feel
like a ghost runner?
I just don't like 16-inch softball.
Oh, what? That's what we play.
That's okay. It.
Why?
It's sacrilege.
I'm with Patty. It's such a bad. It's why do you want to go play softball
who wants
and
to
lose
run like
your
this
fingers
for their lives? Yeah, who wants to?
What?
You're gonna like look. I played once. Look at that.
I never lost.
Whoa!
I
can what happened?
See, look at that. I played one time for GN, and I'll forever have like a curve in my pinky because I was playing third and did ding, and then now it was dangling, and that's it.
And I can pop my thumb. Give me a mitt joint from playing.
You know, rather mitt. Do you play? You still play hardball?
I play 12-inch softball, but I'm more of a. You know, recreational basketball, recreational tennis. Let me actually get a sweat when I'm going out.
There you
That's
go.
Good.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, there's something about baseball and softball where it's kind of like wait around a little, run a little, wait again.
By the way,
on the bench.
I should tell you, Patty, before you stop talking sports, I'm going to be umpiring the police versus the firemen at U.S. Cellular Field.
Is that Todd Tuchuk's game? Is he umping that game, Craig? That must be.
That's
their,
a really good question.
That's got to be their
game. That sounds like the game.
What day is that?
July 11th or 13th, I forget exactly.
Yeah, he's coming in. Isn't Todd Tuchuk coming in next week?
Yeah, that part is correct. He's previewing it.
All right, then.
Do you ump on...
No, I have no idea what I'm doing, but I'm the right field line umpire.
You need to get a camera.
Oh, not bad.
How hard could that be?
That can't
fair.
Be hard. Fair. Foul. But you're also calling who's out at first base.
No, there's a first base umpire. There's
how many umps are there?
Yeah. Six.
What it's the like heck? The World Series. What the hell?
Right. This is a huge game.
Are some of them like standing by? They're not all on the field. Like you're going to get in the way of the players.
No, that's what it would be in the World Series or in the playoffs. You have home, first, second, third, and then you get the left and right field foul lines. So you're further down the line. I'm just going to be hanging out down the right field line, making bold, bold calls.
Okay.
Not exciting. I know it's not that exciting.
No, you're calling a game on Cellular Field. That's
right.
Very
that's
cool.
Yeah, that's gonna be cool.
Fair.
Where the World Series was won in 2005. That's awesome. That was, I don't know if it was won there, but the team played there.
You got to get something better than that, though.
Fair.
No. That's like get something.
Come on. Foul. How would you do it? Fair.
Fair ball.
That's
good.
A strike. That's a strike.
Oh, right to. You're out of here.
Oh, that's Ooh. Good, Scott. Yeah.
I take umbrage with that call.
Sit down! Grab some bench! Fair.
I feel like, what kind of insults? We have to find some insults for umps. There's a lot of good ones in Bull Durham, I think.
Foul.
Come on. It's good. He's like working up to it.
You have like a Shakespearean foul. Foul.
Foul.
Tis foul. Tis foul. Tis balls. Tis foul.
Foul.
Craig, do we have a scene coming up later? Do we want to do that right now or when we come back? I mean, when we come back from the break?
Yeah, sure.
Because I know I know Carm's got to get up early. Senator, how long are you staying tonight? I don't want to keep you up too late. Till 1:15? At least. You eat your food.
Until I make to feel more uncomfortable, I will be sticking around.
Fair.
Until you're so uncomfortable, you swing back around to being comfortable.
Yeah, that's exactly.
That's what
Take
it
me
is.
To a lower place. That'll be back high again.
I can make you so miserable.
Hooray!
So well, happy.
I'm still hearing the opposition ads against you down the line.
What?
They got nothing. I've laid it all out here.
Yeah.
This is Dan Kotowski talking about balls on the radio.
More
Do you want him to be your governor?
Don't you dare.
You're listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase studio, joined by the political cartoonist for the Chicago Tribune, Scott Stantis. Hi, Scott.
Hi.
Is your hat for a team that you like or because it says S on it?
Well, both. Okay. It has S for Scott Stance, but it also was a San Diego Padres throwback cap to 1943, and apparently they couldn't afford the D back then.
You have some cool throwback hats, I have to say. You have the one with the whale.
The Chicago Whales. Once the Great Lakes was crammed with them, and then the white man came.
That's make-believe. Senator Dan Kotowski joins us in studio as well. And Carm, no pressure.
What just happened?
Whales in Michigan. Carm, no pressure or anything, but we have one of the participants of the CPD-CFD baseball game that you'll be umping next week. Hey, Todd Tuchuk, how are you doing?
Good. How are you, Patty?
Now, I'm just saying, do not call any bad calls against Todd Tuchuk.
I mean, that voice just, I'm haunted, and I'm actually thinking about
Is that James Earl Jones?
Withdrawing my position. That was the most intimidating voice I've ever heard. It was like Obi-Wan Kenobi just came down out of nowhere, combo Darth Vader and some other people. Can you, Todd, you're good, man.
He's got a little Barry White in him.
Well, you know, that's funny because I've been trying to get down there for what's in the box and have Craig plays some 70s porn music in the background while I read one of the things.
He's read an adult novel for us, a couple passages from an adult
nice.
Novel. Yeah, erotica, I would say.
I got a couple of friend requests on Facebook after that, too.
Why wouldn't you? It was spectacular.
So, yeah, we had Dave Kaplan last year, umpire, and he can't make it this year, so I'm glad to...
That's what celebrities always like to hear. We couldn't get that other guy, so we're getting Carm instead.
I'm glad we're getting Carm.
Well,
I have an actual link to you. My 7 degree of separation is a guy, Paul Martini.
Oh, Paul Martini, one of the great baseball fans of all time. You should know that if he had maxed out, he would have made it to the major leagues. He had a great sidearm delivery back in the day in fifth grade at Ravinia Grammar School. The guy could really paint the corner on a line ball. Guy threw hard. It's tough opponent.
So, Todd, tell us how people can get tickets for the event next weekend. What are you guys raising money for?
We're raising money for the Gold Badge Society and the CFD, or the CPD Gold Star Society. They both raise for the widows and orphans of our members who either fall in the line of duty or even pass away while they're active. You know, it doesn't have to necessarily be in a fire, but if somebody dies of cancer, which we're seeing more and more, they're able to pick up the slack until they're able to get back on their feet again.
And it's an important event. I know that you're very proud of being a part of this every year. Where can people get tickets and more information about the event?
They can go to the CFDGoldBadgeSociety.org, and they should have a link there for you to purchase the tickets. If you purchase them through that website, it's $5 a ticket. If they wait till the day of the game, it's $10 a ticket. And either way, you know, I prefer people wait until the day of the game. Because
I was going to say, you may as well, go wait until the game. Go ahead and pay the $10. Or even if you get them early, still pay the $10.
Exactly. And, you know, the good thing about it is that they've been very good to us. They have concession stands open. So it's food, beverages for the kids, adult beverages, wide open seating. So you get choice seats for $5, and it's not, if you talk to Cap Carm, you'll see this is real baseball. The Coppers have a guy this year who throws about 85, and he's got a real wicked slider. I faced him a couple of weeks ago. He's a real deal.
Well, are you umping behind the plate? Where are you umping?
I'm down the right field line. That's why we're working on my fair and foul call.
Oh, that's right.
And actually, if we're talking Cap, I mean, he's the reason why He bailed out, and so he said, Karen, would you like to step on in for me? And I said, absolutely, David. I will follow in your footsteps. I told, and clearly you are getting an upgrade, but that was my way in.
That's accurate. And here's, how about this, Craig? Let's do an on-air production meeting. Can we do July 5th? That's Tuesday. And Todd, can you come down Tuesday?
Can I come down the 6th? I'm at the firehouse on the 5th.
We won't be able to do the 6th, so we'll probably have to do it on the... What day is the 11th? Look, I'm doing it on air. I really am doing it.
I'm at the firehouse, too.
Oh, because you gave us the only days, you could not come down to the 5,
right.
8, and 11.
The day. 11,
okay,
yeah.
So let's work on doing the 12th. How's that, the day before? Does that work?
Yeah, that's good.
Okay, cool.
That's
Craig, good. Put Todd down for July 12th, and we'll play What's in the Box with Todd Tuchuk.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I think we're going to have some... we'll have
some of that sweet love.
We'll be getting a crowd on Michigan Avenue. Thanks, Todd. We'll see you on July 12th then.
All right, and I'll be talking to you first base, Con.
All right, Todd, I'm looking forward to it.
That sounds like I don't know if it sounded like a threat or...
It was tantalizing, the offer. He said he's going to help him get to first base. Is that what he said?
No, he said that he would talk to him at first base.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Scott, do you have a chance to play? I haven't played organized sports in a while except for one softball game last year. Have you had a chance to?
Yeah, I'm on the Tronc.
Oh, you were saying come play. Where team. Do you guys play? Maybe you don't want to tell us. Maybe you don't want people coming out and bothering you guys.
I couldn't tell you because someone gives me a ride. I don't have a car, so they just say get in the car.
Aww.
And I go. And I end up and then they...
Are you blindfolded or?
I'm in the trunk. He said, this is normal. This is what people do in Chicago.
Describe the park. What would you like to tell us besides the trees and the grass? What are some distinguishing elements?
There's both.
Okay. Do you have an estimate how many diamonds are at the park?
Two.
Do you ever go out after the game? The restaurant?
Yeah, are there any restaurants in the surrounding
area? No, last couple of times we smoke a cigar, which is...
In the park?
Yes.
Does John Cass play on your team?
He does not. He does not. Most of these people... I am the old one on the team.
Oh.
Yeah, by a lot.
What position?
They say, what do you want to play? And I go, right field.
I like...
There's a lot of action in right field, though, in softball.
There can be.
Yeah.
I was going to say the same thing. There can be. People always say...
You know, if there's, you know, if they're...
If I look
talented
out,
players.
Yeah, if I look out to right field and I see somebody wearing an S on their hat and
yes,
and you're
zip up hoodie.
Yes, I'm hitting the ball to you.
Right? What does that say, San Pedro? What does that say? San Pedro.
This brings up an interesting moment because I was trying to explain to Griffin what it means when everyone moves in on a batter.
Ooh.
They're not moving in on him. We were watching something and everyone started moving in and he goes, that's just rude.
It kind of is. It really feels
you
like
really want it. You really want to be the person who kind of hits it right at it. Right,
yeah,
right.
You want a line.
You
drive.
Want to line it over their head or right down their throat.
Yeah, you want to take care of that.
Of course, I'm not advocating for that, but I just the sense it's like I go to enough travel baseball games, and then you see that you're like, okay,
it's a challenge, right?
Oh yeah.
How often does it work out for the kid that's being moved in on? Huh. Yeah, not often.
What do you mean? Does it work out for the kid?
Where he gets to, like, you know, get his come up, but he gets to show them up.
You know, usually,
never.
It's a smart baseball
it's an accurate,
move.
It's usually
yeah,
accurate.
Usually there's a reason.
There's a reason because
well, for people who are not familiar with baseball, the reason that the fielders move in is because they're assuming the batter can't hit very far, so they want to be closer to that little.
Or he's going to hit it softly.
Softly, yes. Yeah. That's the same as not hitting it very hard. Correct?
I thought you said far. I thought you said far. I'm sorry.
Did I say hard or far?
But that's me.
I'll stay out of it.
But far would imply that they hit it hard.
Whatever. No. Sorry.
Yeah, you can't hit it lightly and get it far.
Yeah.
That's true.
Wow.
That's true.
That was meekly hit out of the stadium. That was amazing.
My only
My
only home run at Lane Tech, because I was, like I said, I was not a power hitter. I was a contact hitter.
Was on the team. Were you on the team?
It was. Yeah, I was. No, I just.
It was a no-cut team, right? Damn.
My only home run was a single that nobody could stop.
My God, I looked like you were wounded after. I've never seen a response like that.
I was a bit of a player. I was a player. You know, it was a little.
Did you hit it over the fence?
No, it was a single that I'm a lefty, so it was a single that the second baseman. It went between the second baseman and the first baseman, and the right fielder couldn't get it either, and it just kept rolling. It was like.
That's a home run.
It was I rounded the bases. It was my only
an inside
home run.
The park home run. That's it awesome.
Do you throw lefty too?
I throw lefty. I hit lefty. Yeah.
Wow. Do you write lefty?
I write lefty. Right. The only thing I don't do lefty is archery and pool. I can't.
That's it.
Okay, and that other thing. What? I think I've mentioned that on the air before.
No, not
what?
Here.
Not to
what?
You,
not
but I've mentioned it on the air.
Yeah.
I have. I don't know why. I don't know, maybe
you of course.
Well, because I need that hand for the remote. So
you were of course referring to darts. Or jarts.
You're gonna get another Facebook letter.
Oh, by the way, speaking of which,
I had a question.
Oh, I saw that.
What was that?
Your Facebook letter. Wow, that was nice.
Yeah, that happened. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. The gentleman was on the air before, and he said he got two Facebook friends after reading
the.
Yeah, I wanted to know who they were.
Who the requests were from? Yeah, it could have been anybody. Really.
Younger, older.
No, I was going to say. Speaking of losing my composure, turns out every month I will be doing a Patty Melt at Stage 773.
Wow.
The first one will be July 20th. And then the August 17th, as a matter of fact. So going forward through the rest of the year, I'll be doing
a
patty
melt. The whole show centered around a patty melt.
It's a patty melt. It's all the things I can't say on the air or shouldn't say on the air. There are things,
Yeah, really?
My God. What
have
you not talked about?
There's so many things I don't actually
Jay-Z,
say.
The clean Jay-Z and the explicit Jay-Z.
Carm knows. Carm's hung out with me. There are things that I talk about off the air that you're like, really? That's there's more.
There's nothing better than staying at a Holiday Inn and seeing Patty in her pajamas as she's ordering a pizza.
Oh.
It is now once again time for a classical acting rendition from our masterpiece, Pretty Late Theater.
This is very exciting.
That was impressive by Craig.
Isn't that great? 312-981-7200. My guests in the studio and I will be reading a scene from a movie. Call us. We have a gift card from Lou Malnati's if you can correctly guess the movie from which this is from.
I think you're going to get a lot of calls tonight.
312-981.
And then just so listeners know, we merged a couple scenes together, so you're going to jump from a couple scenes here.
And Craig, who's doing the stage directions?
I can do those.
All right, then. Sorry, Esmeralda. We've got to do this ahead. Make sure you get stuff. I apologize.
She's going to get
sorry.
Up front.
Just make stuff up, and then no, that would throw things off.
No.
All right, here we go.
Ready?
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Flight 209er, you are cleared for takeoff. Roger.
Huh?
Overthrows console lever into second gear.
LA departure frequency 2.9er. Roger.
Huh?
Request vector. Over. What? Oop.
Flight 209er cleared for vector 324.
We have clearance, Clarence.
Roger, Roger. What's our vector, Victor?
Overthrows console lever into third gear. Flight 209 takes off, flying erratically.
Tower radio clearance. Over.
That's clearance. Over. Over.
Roger.
Somebody who's
we got calls.
Oh, Roger.
In.
What?
Okay.
We're at next scene, too.
Yeah, let's
Roger
just
over.
Go ahead and take
what? Huh?
Let's move on to the next scene.
Next scene.
Next scene.
Between different actors.
You'd better tell the captain we've got to land as soon as we can. This woman has to be gotten to a hospital.
A hospital? What is it?
It's a big building with patients, but that's not important right now. Tell the captain I must speak to him now.
Certainly.
Move to our main characters speaking with the pilots.
Captain, how soon can we land?
I can't tell.
You can't tell. You can tell me. I'm a doctor.
No, I mean, I'm just not sure.
Can't you take a guess?
Well, not for another 2 hours.
You can't take a guess for another 2 hours?
No, I mean, we can't land for another 2 hours. Fog has closed down everything this side of the mountains. We've got to go through to Chicago.
Flawless. I think that was flawless.
That was such a dramatic
that
scene.
Was, I think yeah. that the good thing was that if no one had seen them, like the nice thing about that was we actually made it hard for people, I think. by removing all the humor and the timing, I think that we succeeded in masking what that's from.
Yes. By sucking all of the humor out.
Yeah, I think that that's what's key about our rendition of it was, how you doing, Carm?
I thought we were incredible.
I don't know what she's talking about.
No, I think this is exactly the way the game should go.
I did struggle.
Hey Steve, how are you doing?
I was dying to do what's our vector, Victor.
Hi, Steve. Steve?
Yeah.
What movie?
Doing fine, and stop calling me Shirley.
I don't think he's given us an answer yet. Just a line.
Oh, Airplane.
Excellent. Are you going to see Airplane at Movie Co. with Nick D?
Actually not. I spent my movie night tonight. I went and saw Butch and Sundance.
Where was Butch and Sundance?
Well, you've played there before, the Orpheum Theater in Galesburg.
Oh, I have played that theater. Wow, that's a great movie to see on the big screen again. Well, for everybody else, come to Nick D's movie night at Movie Co. on July 12th. Steve is going to go get some pizza from Lou Malnati's.
Sweet.
Everyone go to loumalnati's.com. And where does that rank in your list of favorite movies, Steve?
What?
Where does Airplane live? Where does it rank in your, like, is it in your top?
Well, for the
genre?
Okay, probably about 20, but mm-hmm. See, I'm a Kentucky Fried Movie fan because
oh,
I saw
great
it.
Movie,
awesome.
Yeah. Youth.
I've never seen it.
Oh, take them to Detroit.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Again, this is how we stump people.
What? he knows what I'm referring to.
I know. Just kidding. Yeah. Very cool. Thank you,
Big
Steve.
Big Jim Slade.
Enjoy your pizza from Lou Malnati's. Hang on the line, and Craig will take your information. Yeah, I don't even remember Airplane. I saw it when I was very little, so I just know all like the greatest. Why are you looking? I'm going to go see the movie.
It's American classic.
I understand that. Oh. I also have never seen Spinal Tap. I have to go see that movie.
I gotta go. Who's going with me?
Why do you want the terrorists to win? What is wrong with you?
What do you have a movie in your rotation that you've never seen that people are always surprised that you've never seen?
Yes.
What's your movie?
What's the one with Ricky Bobby?
Oh, Talladega Nights.
Yeah.
I've never seen that either.
No, me either.
but I know the
really?
Name. Yeah, because okay. you're on a lot of sports guys.
You pray to your
Cap.
Pray, you pray to your
I blame
Jesus
Cap for this experience for you. You're traumatized by him, I bet, because he also liked The Hangover. These are the right.
Yeah, yeah, right. Those movies. Mm-hmm.
Like I don't. I've old seen school. So many. I can't. Think
I like
of
old
one.
School.
Hmm? What's one that people have said to you that's in their rotation?
Those you... Spinal Tap and Kentucky
that's,
Fried those, Chicken.
That's many.
Kentucky Fried. Is it Kentucky Fried Chicken or movie?
Kentucky, Kentucky Fried movie.
See, I don't even know what it's called.
Kentucky Fried Chicken is. It's kind of a place you can go to eat.
It really is. It's almost finger looking good.
It's not like McDonald's, is it?
No, it's not really kind of like that. I'm trying to think. Do you, I mean, I think Esmeralda has one. Do you have one, Scott, that people find out you haven't seen?
You know, it's one of those moments. So just, as soon as you ask,
you know,
me,
you have go, one.
Yeah,
right?
It's,
it falls
it's,
out.
It's
of your
gone.
Head.
Well, you know, Mark was asking me if I really liked the movie Beaches, and I said, well, I haven't seen it. But it sounds like a good movie.
That's one of those. Okay, that's one of those movies that has sort of this, you know, mystique about it. We, you know, make jokes about it. And, you know,
yes,
you know, you're the wind beneath my wings. We have all that. It's not that great of a movie.
No,
it's no. It's just.
That's what I was telling. Mark.
That's a little bit annoying.
I think that's the point. That's why people make
fun
of it
of
to
it.
This day. Yeah,
like Powder. I used to make fun of Powder all the time, and then I saw it.
Yeah,
I was like, this is compelling.
I had a weird follow-up to our conversation when I just started singing the theme from The Golden Girls.
That's a great show.
Thank you for being a friend. Travel down the road and back again. Your heart is true. You're a pal and a confidant. If you threw a party, invited everyone you knew, that one, come on.
Yeah, that's so good.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, it's strong.
You are talented.
Thank you very much. Patty, what do you think?
What? I think you're very talented.
No, but like The Golden Girls. Do you remember?
I love The Golden Girls. Little Rose. Absolutely.
My youngest son watches it religiously.
Still?
Well, it's become, on reruns now, yes. Yeah,
it's got like this cult following now.
No, it does now. You know,
it does.
It really does. It's
yes.
Bizarre. Yeah. No, it's weird, but
yeah.
There it is.
My son's watching Full House. I come in and the Full House is on. And it's like it's...
Are you sure it's not Fuller House?
No, it's the
original
older one, and it's very, you know, very.
What's the one with Jonathan Taylor Thomas? Is that Full House?
That is
Home Improvement.
The Two Minute Show.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. Okay.
Yeah. I'm trying to My Google.
That
I'm trying.
Was a good, that was a good show. It was funny.
Yeah.
Were there monkeys on that show? I don't remember that.
I don't know. That's called a hook in stand-up comedy. Like the Tim Allen's hook, where they had the sound. That he, you know, like what's his name? You know, you're a redneck. That's his hook. Is Jeff Foxworthy's hook?
Yeah, here's your sign.
Which,
by one of those other,
which was a big
guys.
Thing in the '80s. So then in the '90s, comics were like committed to finding their hook, and then that became
did
hack.
Did you ever try?
Like trying to think. Like people would try to give me what they thought my hook was. Like they thought I should come out like in evening gowns and be sultry, like a Jessica Rabbit type comic. And
woof.
Yeah, and I just, it's not me. I know.
Who just woofed?
Woofed.
I did.
Well, Carm, nice. That's his work. apparently, a woof.
Yeah, I could never really find the hook, and then I became a mom. And actually, being a mom was kind of my hook. I think for a little bit was the kind of the mom comic. It was part of that. Yeah.
Did you have like a standard line where people would say they were like. Yell out and say, this is the time of the show.
They would, people would, an element of my show that people always seem to want is my mom. They always want, how's your mom? I have 20 minutes of material and like they can't take it anymore. I'll be in the middle of a show. I could be anywhere. I could be in Nashville. I could be in Atlanta. Uh-huh. And I'm just talking about other stories, things that have happened. All right, but how's your mom? You know?
And then what would you
really
go to?
Sweet.
You'd go right into it?
Yeah,
that's
absolutely.
Awesome.
Yeah. What would be the first thing you'd say when you're.
Well, then I'd ask her how this dress looks on me and she'd say, oh, it looks fantastic. And then I turned around and she goes, never mind.
That's why you go to the mom, right?
That's why you go to the mom.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mom calls it the way she
that's
sees
right.
it. Yeah. So that's people always enjoy those stories. I think my mom took it for a long time that I was making fun of her. But I think that what people identify with is that she's somebody who's like so confident
right.
that she just calls everything the way she sees it. She doesn't take no for an answer. And I try to convey that, but also like my confusion as a child. I remember when she tried grounding me and she's like, you're grounded. And then she didn't know what to do next because she didn't know what that meant.
I thought it was like an airplane thing.
Yeah,
right?
exactly. Which it is, kind of. Yeah,
you're in a no-fly zone.
So it's kind of confusing for me. I'm like, can I go out? Do I stay? Do I leave? Am I in my room? I don't know what's happening.
So there was. I had one joke that it was a standard when I campaigned in Park Ridge. I probably used it like 700 times.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd say, well, I live in this house with all these Spanish-style houses. I said, you know, there's a big one on the corner, you know, the big one with the tower. They're like, yeah, I love that. I said, that's not my house. Mine's a little one right next to it. They're like, ah.
Love it. See? Love it. You live in the little house.
Do you see how it's a hook? You,
yeah.
And every line. I can't do it.
Yeah. And I would always say, oh, is my hair okay? I'm sorry. It's been windy today.
Now make the noise. It's. I always thought it was more of a monkey noise.
Standards.
It's more of a dog noise, isn't it?
What is it?
Well, that sounds like Scooby Doo.
No, it's not a dog noise. It is kind of monkey esque.
What? Tim Allen's thing.
Yeah. I thought you were doing a horse.
I can't even. I don't even want to try and do it. But it's.
We're devolving again, aren't we, Esmeralda?
Well, you are grunting.
That's it.
Are they grunting? Is that grunting?
What does he? What does he do?
Yeah, he does like
Craig's been playing it.
I've literally been playing it.
Yeah. Right? It's almost a bark. It's kind of like,
You guys need to start just, you know, picking the lice out of your hair.
What's happening?
Now, see, that's Scooby-Doo.
We're doing Scooby.
That's a row. Yeah, there are people who, I really,
could
have
be
you
time.
Ever run into somebody who doesn't like Scooby-Doo? I ran into somebody last week.
What?
I don't like Scooby-Doo.
Yeah, my son's not impressed by Scooby-Doo.
How is that even possible?
How do you not, but you don't dislike, does he dislike Scooby-Doo?
I don't know that he dislikes, I'll have to ask.
Like, if they're not like engaged by or enthralled by Scooby-Doo, I loved
a lot of Scooby snacks going around in the studio right now, just
totally,
for the record.
For the record.
Significant Scooby snacks.
Scooby. Carm.
We drove the mystery machine here tonight.
Well, you should. Are you catching a ride in the mystery machine?
I am catching a ride.
I want to thank Carm and Senator Gutowski. I know that you both have early mornings, and I don't want to make you stay later. I know we're hanging out and having a good time, but no, you can stay. But I want to give you a chance to say goodnight if you want to, or stay until 1:30. These are your choice, or leave just in the middle of the next segment. We'll find out what happens.
I'm going to give you a hug right now, Patty.
Okay. More after this on 720 WGN. You're listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase studio. Earlier this week, we had Ted Lundy in studio, who's a regular on Justin Kaufman's show, and he's also in communications. And I wanted to talk to him because I saw that he'd been following the reports on Hillary Clinton's investigation with a select committee in the House. And then I've gotten some correspondence from people wondering whether or not I had struck a balance. And really, my response, the reason that I had Ted Lundy on was because in the morning, there was the alternate. I wanted to see if I could sort of, at the opposite end of the clock, do sort of the contrasting opinions. And we have Scott Santis, and I'm curious as to what your thoughts were with the headlines, because the headlines really could be taken
a lot of different ways. Oh, it's hilarious. This is so funny. The story has been covered, and if you go to five or six different sites, you will think that just by reading the headlines,
yes,
that there are five or six different reports were
issued.
Yes,
that's what I was. That was kind of the conversation I wanted to have that night.
Here's the thing that comes to, it comes down to a Hillary lied and made up the story about the YouTube video,
that was why the embassy was being attacked.
Right, okay. Right. And she knowingly lied to the American people.
Because in her private communications,
yes,
she said it was terrorism.
With Chelsea, mm-hmm, and then with the foreign minister of Egypt.
Egypt, right.
And so on the other side is that, you know, why didn't she send help sooner? She was trying to be, and this is what being a diplomat is. And this is what it's infuriating to me about the story. Not that she lies, because she tends to do that. It makes things worse rather than better. But that we wouldn't quite understand the nuance, and maybe we wouldn't. But she was trying to balance a response to this attack with the new, very, very, very fragile, government, because Gaddafi was still alive, but with the opposition there. And so how to balance that out. And in the meantime, while she did that, unfortunately, four Americans died. To say that she did this on purpose, or that the blood's on her hands and all this stuff, was it an action? Yeah, there was. But it was also an action because there were other things to consider in her course of her decision-making as Secretary of State. So, you know, the part that ticks me off is that she lied, you know. I mean, she just bawled out lied to us.
And that was in the investigation. And when one of the headlines was, no new information about Hillary Clinton's actions.
Right.
And that meant that in previous reports was the information that she had said one thing publicly and knew something else privately, which
right,
was that she had said it was because of the videos.
Right. And in fact, you know,
it was
weird,
an attempt to control the story.
This is her happenstance. I was in the White House briefing room, the press room, when Jay Carney was pushing that story that it was the YouTube video, and the New York Times was pushing back, saying, well, we have information that this was a, you know, organized attack on 9/11, and Carney just was adamant. I still have that video on my phone somewhere.
What effect does it have to be so wrong about whether it's a decision to use the go with the wrong information or to, you know, to sort of use it to manipulate? I mean, who knows if it's to manipulate us, to manipulate the people, the enemies, you know, there. I mean, whatever the reason was, whatever the cause was, what effect does that have? I mean, other than us having a negative impression, you know what? And that was, and here was what was interesting to me was, I remember in those few days when it turned out to not be the video, I was yelling on my radio, I go, what difference does it make? Right. And then, so when she said that in the hearings, you remember she said,
sure,
that
at this
it wasn't
point,
what difference
does it make,
but it was the story. So I remember because people were yelling about that, that she had said video, it turns out it was a terrorist attack. And so to me, it was like, there's nothing I can do or could have done regardless of what it was, a video or a terrorist attack. There's nothing I can materially do with either piece of information except to go, huh, I guess it was that video. Oh, I guess it was a terrorism attack.
Right. Well, I think it speaks to the character of the person we're discussing. I mean, yeah, and that this is not a singular or isolated incident. That she has this weird talent to gum up a situation that doesn't really need to be gummed up, all the way back to Whitewater, the Rose Law Firm records, all that stuff, up to this point. If she had just...
That's a big gap. Everything in between seems like a lot of territory.
There's a lot of other stuff, which I frankly don't have the list in front of me, but trust me, it's legion. It's just a weird character quirk of hers that she can't just shoot straight. Now,
and we talked about this the other night, because my feeling was always that she struggles with authenticity. You know, whether that's... I think that... And I think that comes across in certain situations where there isn't actual lying, seems like lying. And then when there are situations where in this, you know, you can go, see, she's a liar, with knowing that she said one thing publicly and another thing privately. By the way, Senator Katowski, if he's listening to the show, is probably driving off the road right now.
Right. Well, but here's the point. I mean, there's, like, again, you and I talk about this a lot. There's a middle ground here. And the Benghazi report said, she lied to us about this, and she pushed that narrative through the White House, which was wrong. I mean, because it was a lie. It wasn't a very good one. But the second half of it is, and the tragic part is the inaction to not send help to the consulate that was under attack.
Right, the wheels weren't even moving.
But there's reasons for that. That if they're not entirely compelling, and you know, you and I both know that Republicans and people on the right are never going to, I mean, accept anything, period. But the fact, as it's laid out in this report, are that she had a lot of other issues to weigh against this. Should the, you know, and it's easy in hindsight to say, well, her priority should have been to send troops in there and then
we lose more people.
Maybe, or we would have been successful, whatever it was. But by turn.
Hold on a second, Senator Katowski. I told you he was probably driving off the road. Yes, Senator.
Hey, Dan.
I was like about to drive off the road. I was like, I don't know, but I don't know about you. Did I miss something? I just read an article recently that said that the investigations concluded and that there was nothing wrong. They didn't find any failure on her part.
No, are you listening to what I'm saying, Dan? She's not clean on this either. Because she was weighing for perhaps too long, and I'm saying perhaps, a military response to save the consulate that was under attack.
It wasn't her role to send the military. That was the military. It wasn't her call.
It was part of that. But she was part of the equation, part of the chain of command that made these decisions whether or not to go in. And to her credit, Dan, which I'm saying, which apparently you're not hearing, is that in fact, she had a lot of other considerations on her plate going forward during this whole episode, that something that was nuanced, and maybe she was right to lie to us about what the real cause of the thing was. But the fact is, she was doing due diligence, and that's, to my mind, what the report eventually says.
Okay, that's fair. I think it's fair when you're getting into that. So I just, the point that, which what I struggle with on this discussion about this, like, here's what folks are, some folks in government are really good at. They're really good at using the government apparatus and spending taxpayers' money in order to try and do their best to discredit people in political attacks. And it's sometimes people don't recognize what's happening. Spend $8 million taxpayer money.
Well, $7 million, but you know.
It's real money. I mean, it's just real money to spend this and to conclude that, well, look, and I did some background on this and just say, okay, what are her responsibilities? Is she the one who's responsible for, you know, making this decision? Because everybody, they made it all seem like as if she were the one who is making the decision on the defense side. And what this report has concluded, and first of all, that it wasn't her responsibility, that you had the Department of Defense, you had the CIA, you had all these other components involved here. It just, you see this happen repeatedly. I think this is what makes people cynical about government. And I get the fact that what sometimes people say that you just got to get the answer out. And that's why I think people have difficulty with government with that as well. But my struggle is this, as a taxpayer, what really bothers me is I say at all these different hearings, they spend all this money, and ultimately they find out, I was like, you know what? She wasn't to blame. Like you said, she was doing due diligence. And the whole idea was, in my opinion, my cynical opinion, was to discredit her and the work that she was doing as Secretary of State after the fact. And I think they succeeded. And that's what's really sad.
First off, it doesn't totally exonerate her. It doesn't give her a clean bill of health on that. And also, obviously, also the line's a little problematic, but let's ignore that. The thing is, when they say, well, we spent this much on hearings, well, how many times down in Springfield did you have hearings that came to no avail? That's money that was wasted, Senator. Well, that's hogwash. Was this a vendetta? Let me finish. Was this a vendetta? I think that certainly could have been part of this. And that makes me, that disgusts me, because frankly, we lost a U.S. ambassador. That doesn't happen terribly often, thank goodness. And we needed to find out why this happened. But did this turn into a witch hunt? Of course it did, because it got into a political arena and politics got played. I mean, I don't think any of us should be shocked that there's politics in politics.
Senator?
Excellent point, Scott, because I'm not disagreeing with the fact that, you know, these vehicles are used, but I never participated in a hearing. When I was at Springfield, the purpose in mind was to go after and discredit an individual and to have a series of hearings to do that. We would look at budgets, and sometimes people could argue, and justifiably, that, okay, this wasn't the best use of time for taxpayer dollars. But this is what, you know,
I couldn't agree with you. We have idiots in Congress. We have Mitch McConnell, a brand new, spanking new Barack Obama, and this idiot's little turtle-faced moron.
There's things I think you're going to say. Good.
I can't, but I'd rather say. But Mitch McConnell stands there and says, well, our job now is to make sure he doesn't get reelected. Well, to hell with you. He just got elected president. I want you to govern my country.
Well, the same was said, Senator. Wasn't that correct? That when they were like, look, we succeeded, her numbers have dropped, was one of the things that were said last summer.
Yeah. Here's what's really interesting. Yeah. It's like this whole trust issue, and I think when she left Secretary of State, and this was when polls were saying is Secretary Clinton trustworthy, right? But these hearings have served their purpose, and it's a strictly political purpose to completely discredit her and the work that she did as Secretary of State. When she left that job, Secretary of State, she was, you know, considered to be an excellent Secretary of State, very trustworthy. Did a great job of restoring and repairing relationships across the globe. And then as a result of these hearings, they were constantly repeating these accusations day in and day out. And that's what people have a difficult time with government. While people are out of work, while people are struggling to make ends meet, while we should be investing in education, figure out ways to go after the bad actors, the real bad actors in this country, this is what Congress is engaged in. And this is what makes people cynical about government. So, I mean, I appreciate the fact that, you know, as we discuss this more, Scott, that I know you're thinking about this fairly as you typically do, but it just, the whole thing, when I read it, it just frustrated me.
Senator, do you want to, because I apologize to both of you, because this was actually on my schedule for earlier, and we got sidetracked and had great conversations. Do you guys mind, Senator, do you mind if we call you back after the news? Because I know we're getting a couple calls, and I think it's an important conversation that I've been accused of not having a very balanced take on. And I think that Scott helps bring that balance, and the senator brings experience. Do you guys mind, Senator, do you mind if we call you back after the news?
I don't mind at all. I'm just driving home.
I know. It's perfect.
I'm not going to the bar. I'm just going home.
I understand. I apologize that I didn't do this in studio so you would have an opportunity to go off of, you know, sort of physical cues. But I think it works out just as well, if you don't mind. No. You're listening pretty late. Senator Gutowski is getting phone calls from inside the studio and inside the producer's booth. Everyone's calling him with questions.
They're calling from inside the studio.
We really do need to capture the off-the-air mic conversations as well. Senator Gutowski joins us once again. I wanted to have revisit the conversation we had earlier this week about the investigations into Benghazi. And, it gets a little heated. People are very passionate. And in particular, when it comes to this election season, I think there's a lot at stake here. Senator Gutowski, we have a listener that wanted to join the conversation. Do you mind?
Not at all.
Excellent. AJ, how are you doing?
Patty, I'm doing great. First, I love the show. I'm a big longtime fan, and you're an awesome comedian, too.
Oh, thank you very much.
So I wanted to mention,
I wanted to mention, again, great show. I'm happy the senator called in, and I love this conversation that's going on, but I really believe, yes, a lot of money was spent on the investigation and all of that, but I don't think Hillary can be exonerated. I don't think Hillary, can be cleared of all wrongdoing. She can be exonerated, be cleared of all wrongdoing, because lives were lost here. American lives were lost, and yeah, the investigation had to take place, and money, a lot of money was spent. But judging by everything with her emails and everything, I believe it had to take place, and I don't believe she's totally innocent here.
None of us have anything to say.
I guess we left him hanging there.
No, Senator, go ahead.
No, it's fine. You're entitled to your opinion about that, and I just thought it was I respectfully disagree. I think this is one of these things where this has been discussed. I mean, it's a series of different investigations that have occurred in Congress, and I think Congress needs to do its job and investigate situations like this. But I just kind of find it. I find it unfair that the burden of this, the guilt, has been placed on her head. We have people in positions of leadership in the country and who make decisions about defense.
AJ, it sounds trite when I try to have this conversation and somebody believes so strongly. Yes, I don't think anybody who found this to be a witch hunt thinks, well, so what? It's not like we're dismissing anybody in the situation. It is a tragedy.
And Patty, if I may interject, first of all, if anybody has credibility to talk about these kind of things, it's you, because you are so involved in the political arena in Springfield and all of that. And I'm not like the Republicans who believe, oh, we just got to bash Hillary and bash Bill for everything they have done. No, I'm right down the line. But I the senator has a great point there. A lot of money is spent on with taxpayers and all that. But I still believe that she's not completely innocent here.
Yes. And I think what the senator is alluding to as well is the inconsistency with which these investigations are held then, because there were 13 Benghazi attacks on George Bush's watch without any sort of investigation or, yelling about, where was the Secretary of State? And there've been deaths and attacks, and all of them equally tragic, and loss of life is something that we should mourn. And if we need to have answers, we should. And in this case, it did seem a beyond the pale in comparison to other things that have been carried out.
Right. And while every human life has equal value, the what made this unique, obviously, was the loss of a life of a U.S. ambassador, which is a rare thing indeed. So that's why this has, is higher profile than some of the other attacks. Now, what do you mean the George Bush had Benghazi attacks?
There were 13 attacks during...
On the Benghazi...
On the 13 Benghazis that occurred... Oh, no, the similar attacks.
Similar attacks occurred in Benghazi, Patty?
No, not in Benghazi, but Benghazi-like attacks that were never blown up into political, sort of warfare.
And that's why with the Republicans, they never, even if they made a mistake, they never recognize it. I believe exactly what you said. I just wanted you to clear that up, but I believe exactly what you said, and they won't ever, agree on that.
No, it's got.
I think that it's important to note. I want to restate that we need to. The purpose of people in those positions is to keep power in check, right? And to ask those tough questions on behalf of you know, on behalf of the people that they represent, on behalf of those whose lives were lost in that very tragic situation. It's just that, you know, I was a senator for 9 years, and when politics is so obvious that it hits you over the head with a sledgehammer, and in terms of what the purpose of some of those hearings were, you know, I'm not completely absolving anybody involved in the situation of everything. What I'm saying is that this is what makes people cynical about government. It really is, because it's not the most effective use of taxpayer dollars and resources. This has already been concluded before that it wasn't her fault or her, you know, or she was the one who is solely responsible for this, or she was guilty. It's been concluded before, and they've had these reports come out, and now the final report has come out to officially confirm, which isn't to say that they may have another hearing. See, some of the things that people in Congress are really good at is holding these hearings to repeatedly reconfirm what they already knew.
Right. In fact, the Republicans have already come forward and said that they were not satisfied with some of the details in this report, and hence more hearings are necessary. And that's you and I think we can all agree that's hogwash. We've gone over it.
Exactly.
We have. But this plays into a much deeper problem with Hillary. And we were talking about it earlier. If we want to go there, we can.
Yeah,
but
I say we go there. AJ, thank you so much for joining the conversation and for liking the show. I appreciate that.
Patty, thanks a lot, and keep it up, and I appreciate being part of the conversation.
Oh, anytime. We look forward to hearing from you again.
Absolutely. Bye, guys.
Bye-bye. Let's go there. I mean,
well, you said it great.
That's how I hung up on him hard. I'm sorry, AJ. I didn't mean to do that.
No, you said it earlier. I think you were dead right. She has a problem with authenticity and how that articulates itself often is a difficulty with...
In the past. I think that she's gotten chill this year, but go ahead.
But that's the thing, is that the response to the email thing, the response to the long list of stuff we've talked about, and we talked about this off the air, from Whitewater to today.
You said that on the air, actually, Whitewater to today.
Okay.
Yeah, you said gumming up were the words that you used on the air.
Okay, well, gumming... And it is. It's never a clear, it's never just a clear answer here. It's never like, and it's troubling. It's one of the reasons her negatives are so high, is that, you know, we would like to think that something as simple as, you know, what happened in Benghazi, we had news on, so we had other considerations to consider before we unleashed American force. That's a reasonable, and a lot of people won't get that. You know, let's face it. She could say the sky is blue, and there is a large contingent of the population that will just scream bloody murder. And why is she lying about that? Okay, that's one thing. But she's obviously smart. She's obviously capable.
I can't tell you how condescending that looks, by that sounds, by the way.
No, because I'm coming from a different side of the political spectrum. If her genitals were outside her body, I would. But my point is that this is someone who has a real truth problem, and it continues to articulate itself, and that's what's frustrating. She should be 20 points ahead of Donald Trump. Donald Trump is a troll. She is 5 points.
Senator?
I'm listening, and I like to, you know, give Scott the opportunity to have his opinions be heard. And, you know, this is what makes our country great. We have people who are completely diametrically...
Speaking of condescending.
Yeah.
Veiled condescension.
But the thing is, I here's what I find the other side of this. And here's this, is a person who's, you know, served our country as a senator, first lady, secretary of state, and has just gone through a series of attacks on her and her character for the past year. And what's been determined and ascertained after all of this is that ultimately, that she wasn't to blame.
Ultimately, she lied. That's also...
No, wait. Like, ultimately, the accusation was that she was to blame. This was her fault. And let's be very clear here. And what has been determined and ascertained through all of this partisan attack on her is that it wasn't.
No, that's not true. That's not true, Dan. Yeah. It's not. No. She dragged her feet. That was part of the problem. Why the response, a military response, was delayed. So the reasons for that, I think, are nuanced. But that's not what the report says. It doesn't exonerate her of all blame for the what happened in Benghazi.
I had not heard that her dragging her feet had anything to do with the military.
Scott, I disagree with you completely. The fact is, this was something that they wore around her neck, that she was to blame for this. And then the fact is, she's not to blame for it. I mean, she's a Secretary of State, and she did her job. And what they've done is they've been participating in these series of partisan attacks on her character, and they've tried, right? And here, the other side of the story is, the fact is, she's still standing, right? She's still the candidate. They tried to do what they could to tear her down, and they've tried to do it repeatedly. From the time she became the first lady, no matter what she did, she's been under this microscope. For some people, she rubs them the wrong way. But from the time she came out in healthcare, she was trying to take over the healthcare system, and she didn't show proper respect, or she acted too smart, or she didn't understand how Washington worked. Whatever. This woman has endured so many criticisms, so many attacks over the course of her career, and she's still standing.
I've heard you. I'm sorry. Go ahead, sir.
No, I just find that unbelievably impressive, because most people would have withered after this time. Most people would have hung it up. Most people would have gone up and been like a president of a university somewhere. Not that that's not a good job, or they would have headed up a foundation or whatever. But she's still in the arena, and she's still fighting. And she's ultimately, in my opinion, you may disagree with it, she's going to prevail.
Oh, I don't disagree with you at all on that one.
Yeah,
I've heard you. We've had this conversation before, and I struggled with this last time because my mother is a big fan of Hillary Clinton's, and I never have been, and for various reasons. But I think a lot of it for me was often her authenticity, and you know, sort of struggling with how to connect. And I think that Al Gore had that problem. I think a lot of politicians have that problem when they try to elevate to the national stage. But I've heard you say that before, and I just have never known if it's enough. And the other thing, and before I continue, I want to make sure I get to a listener who wanted to join the conversation. Lance, I didn't mean to make you hold on too long. How are you doing, Lance?
Hi, how are you today?
Very well. What did you want to say?
I just want to say that the Republican Party, the ones that did this investigation, Bill Issa, he did his own investigation. If he could have found something in this Benghazi story, he would have found something, because he was looking under every rock, baby, and everything else he could search. Try to find something. There's nothing. You know, they like to call themselves, well, people call them the Party of Investigations, because they just investigate everything. And another point I want to make, too, is that under this president and Secretary of State, there was one embassy that was attacked and four people was killed. Under the past administration, there was 13 consulates and embassies attacked and 60 people were killed. My question is, why are those 60 people who were killed under the past administration any less valuable than the four that died in this one here?
No, I listen. Lance, I think you're absolutely right.
I said that on Tuesday.
You said it just a few minutes ago. Mm-hmm. And what makes Benghazi a little different, and this, you're right, every life is valuable, but this was a loss of a U.S. ambassador, which represents the strength and power and diplomatic position of the United States wherever he or she is. So that made this different than those attacks. But you're right. I mean, this was cherry picked. This was, and it's one of those issues that the Republicans glummed onto and they thought they could make political hay out of. They have. And, you know, but again, I'm not shocked that politics were played in a political arena. Certainly you're not.
Well, the point I'm trying to make is that I understand that there was an ambassador that was killed, but the ambassador at the same time, he understood the dangers, because as the report brought out, he knew the dangers that he was encountering when he went back to that embassy. So my point is, I'm not a Hillary supporter. I'm not a Trump supporter. I try to leave out the politics. But I do think the truth is, the truth matters. And when I hear someone says things that's not true, just like the gentleman just earlier said that she held her feet with the military. Well, the military many times has said that's not the case. They could have not responded. They could not have bombed that area. So the military option was not there. So I keep hearing these people say certain things. That's just not true.
Thank you so much, Lance. And I appreciate you joining us in the conversation. We look forward to you joining us again. Have a good night. Brad,
thanks,
I think, Brad, you wanted to say something as well?
Well, you know, it's funny that this whoever this guest is brought up Whitewater. If anybody paid any attention to what happened there, the Clintons were victimized by whoever that guy was that swindled him, and then the press went crazy with this. There's two books that people should read, Fools for Scandal and The Hunting of the President, which deal with how the media was completely complicit with this. When this whole thing would happen with Whitewater is at the end of the trial, the guy that swindled them was shown to be the person who victimized the Clintons, and his summary statement when he was prosecuting this guy, they said the guy completely said that the Clintons were victims in this, and the media didn't cover it at all. They just forgot about all that part. And this has been going on ever since with people like Richard Mellon Scaife, who's a rich maniac right-winger from Pittsburgh, who funded a lot of these people that tried to say that they were responsible for Whitewater, that Vince Foster was murdered, which is a disgusting lie. I lived in D.C. at the time, and it was a big story there. Obviously, it was everywhere, but it was a, you know, it was something that happened in our local news. So, and it was totally made up. All this stuff about the Clintons, not all, but a lot of it was made up. And I urge people to read the two books that I read because, you know, It shows how this liberal media really didn't exist, and it's still going on and on and on. And until she got the nomination this year, and still the New York Times and the Washington Post have been going after her horrendously. And another thing that, you know, if you want to get into a little bit of the detail of the embassies, Congress refused to fund the defenses to the tune of, I forget what they cut. It was in the order of hundreds of millions of dollars that they cut from the defenses of the embassies.
Brad,
it just flabbergasts me that these false narratives are always put forward.
Brad, you've been waiting a while to make this phone call. Brad, can I ask you a question? Is it something that I think my husband has the same thing because he sent me notes the other night in regards to this conversation. I'm trying to figure out a way to help you because when you hear Scott, and because Scott's actually a very good guy. He's the cartoonist for Chicago Tribune, and I know he infuriates my mom, and it sounds like he infuriated you as well. I think that. Would you say that a lot of it has to do with the change in tone since the 1980s when it comes to the way we do treat each other politically? I think that has a lot to do with it, wouldn't you say?
Are you talking to me?
Yes, Brad.
Oh, yeah, I'm sorry. I heard a noise and I didn't know if that was
me. Yeah, no, I clicked you back in.
Yeah, no. Oh, absolutely, but it's gone. It's gone from before that even. I don't even know where to begin with all this, but it goes back to with Lewis Powell and all these groups like the American Enterprise Institute.
Right.
They're all funded by these they're all maniac right-wing gazillionaires like
the Koch brothers
and the Bradley Foundation.
Right. And so Brad, this is because when I hear you, I hear a lot of the frustration that I think is on both sides.
But you know what? The right wing has all the money and all the influence, and they talk about somebody like George Soros. He's the only billionaire, quote unquote, that's funding all this supposedly.
Well, that's not necessarily true either, but please continue.
Well, we're going to run out of time. Brad, I encourage you to call the show again and join our conversation. I hope that you feel like you got some of that off your chest and were able to address a lot of the things that we've talked about.
I just wish that the American people had a chance to hear something besides the people that are funding like Fox News, you know, Rupert Murdoch and stuff like that. I mean, that entire news organization, I put quotes around that,
right.
Is, you know, like,
and that's why we invited you to the conversation that people could hear other things.
And I love your show. And by the way, I don't like Hillary Clinton very much at all. I would not vote for her. I'm going to vote for I don't know who yet because Illinois is a safe state. But I'm tired of holding my nose and voting for the least bad candidate for ever since 1972. That was the only time I ever voted for anybody that I liked. So
if you're left or right, Stein is running on the Green Party, and I think she's ran 4 years ago, and I like Gary Johnson a lot, Libertarian candidate.
Senator, are you still there, Senator?
Sure.
Aren't you home yet?
Are you home? Are you in your driveway?
Yeah. This was great. I'm sitting in front of my house, and I'm like, this is awesome radio. I got the glow of the light here. I'm listening to that. I'm like, this is why I love our country.
Here, here.
And this is why I love commercials, because it lets me know when my show is over. And I can't even do a wake-up call. Senator, have a great weekend and safe travels to Swimmer, Wisconsin.
Thanks for letting me call in.
That was great. It worked out just the way I'd hoped. More after this on 7.
I couldn't handle the monologue by Stantis. I had to call.
I knew that you were about to be. I was like, call or be in a ditch. More after this on 720 WGN.